Ad Council.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get up, get to me. Oh my goodness gracious. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get to me. Well. Just a heads up. You need to pay attention. We have much, much, much business to tend to today. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have Ziem Wagner, author of One Nation Under George. That's right, One Nation Under George. And coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we have a discussion. Not too long ago, there were the story was reported about a father who went into a building and killed some people. Part of the story was that he did this as because he was overwrought by child support payments, miscalculation of child support payments. Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that issue, men and child support, what the system does, what the system is about, what options they have. That's going to be in the 7 o'clock hour. You don't want to miss that. Many amazing stories that came out. The Investors Business Daily reported the front page story that Bush's approvals ratings up on Zarqawi's death. But then the subheadline is that for one day, Bush was more popular than he has been all year. The Bush's lagging poll numbers got a swift boost when news that U.S. warplanes had killed al-Zarqawi. Polling done on Thursday said that gave Bush a 42.2% rating, up from 39.1 and 38.9. Okay. Okay. Bush's polling numbers went up after they beat al-Zarqawi up and killed him. It's like, do you really want Bush to know that? So who are you going to kill next to get your poll numbers up? Is that the way that you get your poll now? How scary is that? You don't, decrease the deficit. You don't fix health care. You don't provide seniors with access to prescription drugs. No, your poll numbers go up when you kill somebody. Lord help us. Lord help us. Your poll numbers go up after you kill. Okay, everybody, duck. Duck. Pretend like it's 1955. Get under your desk and put your heads over your head, your hands over your head. Duck. Lord. Lord, 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 Lord. Is that what? I guess he's like, you know, what I got to do? What I got to do to get my numbers improved? And, Karl Rove, Turd Blossom said, well, shoot. Well, Mr. President, here's a list of people we can kill. Bet, partner. Get on that. Whoo! 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, my toll-free. Long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. I need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number, huh? It's interesting, however, that I suspect that once the bloom is off the turd blossom, America will resume and face in a full frontal way the reality over
the reality of the world that they live in. Ah, yes, when that bloom falls off the turd blossom, people will still see that they're paying over $3 a gallon for gas. People will understand once the blood from Al-Zarqawi's body is dried up on the crumbling rocks of the 1,000 pounds of bombs that were dropped to get him, and they still didn't get him. Once the blood is dried and the swelling has subsided of his beaten and battered face, Americans will turn their faces towards the real lives that they live here and realize that, oh, ain't nothing changed. Once the bloodlust of some folks, the twisted patriotism of others, once the buzz is gone. So how did Al-Zarqawi being dead work out for you? Is gas 79 cents a gallon? Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. Whoo, Lord, Lord, Lord. 1-877-920 is my number. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. Marcina.
Yes. Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, I want to ask you a question. I have a son. He's in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there almost 7 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he was out at a lounge one night. He was in Italy, and he was out at a lounge one night, and this white girl he had met, you know, she claimed that he kept kissing her and touching her and wouldn't stop, right? She's also in the Navy, right? Okay, so they took my son to court in the Navy for this, right? With no evidence, just her word, right? And then they gave him he'd been in the Navy 7 years, they gave him a bad conduct discharge, took his rank, and put him in jail for 3 months in Germany. And I'm trying to find some kind of attorney.
Well, I don't know. Is he appealing the case?
Yeah, he's appealing it.
Okay, so you're looking for an appeals attorney, a military appellate attorney.
Well, so I don't know how to go by doing that, Lee.
And I don't either. I don't know. What I would suggest that you do is, I know that there has to be, I know that they have in the Army, there's a certain group of attorneys that do nothing but law for JAG officers. They're the only people, they practice law for the Army. Mm-hmm. I imagine there's an arm of the Navy as well.
Okay, he had a military attorney that was in the Navy, mm-hmm. a lady.
Okay, let me answer your question, okay?
Okay.
So what I would suggest that you do is call them and ask them, where do you go to find an attorney that specializes or practices, and I don't even know if you can have a non-military attorney representing you. I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would call them, find out from them, and then I would also I would look up if your son or you have access to the internet, I would look up military lawyers on the internet.
Look up military lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Do a Google search on military lawyers and see what that gets you. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Uh huh. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll free is 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake up call.
Okay. Good morning, Miss Brown.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. Look, Miss Brown. I heard on your news on your radio. Is this car rolled? They said they wasn't going to indict him.
Okay, I didn't hear that.
You didn't hear that?
No, ma'am.
Well, I just heard it on your news.
Yes,
on
ma'am.
Your radio news.
Okay.
They said they weren't going to indict him.
Okay.
Okay, I just thought maybe you had some information.
Not yet. If they just said it, no, I'm good, but I know I don't have that yet.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake up call. Good morning.
Liz?
Yes.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Okay, good. I was just calling to say my comment is about the construction that's going on, you know, throughout the town, the highways, the subdivisions, and everywhere. There's just mobs and mobs of white men, and I just don't understand what's going on. I mean, like, everywhere I go, it's like maybe one or two blacks and everybody else is white, and every now and then I have to look twice to see if it's somebody white or somebody with a tan, you know. And to me, it's just kind of scary. I even drove through a very affluent black community where, you know, people are very well-to-do, lawyers, doctors, and this kind of thing, but practically everyone that was doing the work in their subdivisions were all white.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand this. It's scary to me.
Well, I think that it is a part of a education process. For instance, it's one you have to raise your family with the understanding that when we do things, for instance, you know, you look at buildings being built, and we have to raise our kids with an understanding that we hire black companies to do our work. When your children grow up with that understanding and that edge, I mean, small in a small way, you have to start at home. You have to. Who fixes? Who does your plumbing? You know, who does your roof? Who does your electrical work? Who do you bring into your home to do those things?
Right.
It's part of an educational process, and you have to supplement that education with the education that they receive in school. That's why it is so important that you insist and you participate and you are active in your schools, because the message that you send your children is that if you send them to places where, this is one of the reasons why I have to have opposition to sending our kids to black schools with white teachers or white schools with white teachers, what you are telling your child is that education comes from a certain place. And you don't have to write it on a T-shirt, but the message is absorbed. It matters what we do with our children all of the time. It matters what we do with our friends.
Yeah,
who do you
understand
that, but... Well, no, I understand that you want another type of fix, but I'm trying to explain that there are all kinds of fixes to this. And it has to begin with that. Now, additionally, one of the things that, again, you have to be involved politically. There are organizations out there that are, just like there are organizations that are focused on the death penalty. There are organizations that are focused on making certain that, or involving themselves politically in the laws and the rules that are promulgated and pushed out there about minority participation on contracts.
Right, that's true, because a friend of mine made a statement. She was saying, well, they're getting grants. I'm like, well, are all white people getting grants and no blacks or what? I don't understand it.
Yeah, and again, there are simple things that you can do. Start a conversation with a group of your friends and see where you may be surprised where your friends are.
Right. Well,
you know,
I'm not going to call any names, but I'm living next door to someone who's running for state rep.
Uh-huh.
So maybe I can start there.
All right. Absolutely.
I need some answers.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. We'll take a break. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get up and get to me.
All alone, I was lost in the world of strangers. No one to trust. On my own, I was lonely. You suddenly appeared.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Orkin. Westbound 270 at New Hallsbury and New Florissant. Look for no problems to report there. Northbound 270 at 44 looks good. Eastbound 44 from Bowles all the way into 270 is on the move there. Eastbound 40 at Poplar Street Bridge. Paving operations have the right lane closed. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge is paving operations. Only three lanes are open and traffic is backing up past Route 3 at this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, there's an accident involving three vehicles and a block in the right lane, so traffic is slowing near the gravel pit. Use caution. Westbound 64 at 5570 looks good. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge is on move. Westbound East Bridge traffic into the city looks good at the tower. And southbound 141 at 44, look for a vehicle on fire. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Subterranean termites live underground. They just visit your house for takeout. Don't worry, the Orkin man's been fighting invasions for over 100 years. For a free inspection, call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN today. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy, a high near 80 today, mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s tonight. Partly sunny with a high in the mid-80s tomorrow, and for Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day and learn how to do the right thing.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Hi, this is Herb Steck. I'm the host of The West Wing right here on WGNU Radio. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., covering politics here in St. Louis, across the state, in the Capitol in Jeff City, and on the national level. Call in with your questions, your comments. Drop us an email, wgnu@hotmail.com. We'll be happy to talk about any political subject you want to talk about on Wednesday nights, right here on The West Wing with Herb Steck.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you, and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Car Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, John.
I wanted to give folks an update on the ongoing battle for a decent civilian review board for the city of St. Louis and talk about some of the shenanigans that the police department's been involved in recently, unbelievable violations of law. You know how it is with the school board and with the school administration and the public schools. Sometimes it's really hard to tell where the incompetence stops and the manipulation starts. It all gets blended together, you know, and that's what's been happening with the police board. You know, there was a bill passed a while back by the police board. It was a sham civilian review board, and it was a PR stunt to make, you know, the public think that they were doing something to get citizen input. And so what do they do with this civilian review board that they pass? You have to pass these things in open meetings because there's laws saying that you have to have open government. Citizens need to be able to see what's going on with our government. As soon as this supposed civilian review board is passed, the police department sent it to their legal division, and it spent 3 weeks there, kind of, you know, hard to figure out why would it have to go to legal division for 3 weeks. Well, it comes back and gets signed by the police board president, and it's got 13 changes made to it that were unauthorized, that were not passed at the public meeting, that they just did behind closed doors.
And I guess that it is important for people to understand and underscore the significance of this. We're talking about those that are, we're talking about lawyers and we're talking about police officers, both of whom have taken an oath to uphold the law. And this is where the lawlessness is taking place, with police officers and lawyers and a board, and also a board that's also taken an oath to uphold the law. All three of these entities intimately involved with the law, and all three of these entities absolutely violating the law.
Just flouting the law openly. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. And
so the question becomes, when people talk about police officers violating their law, their civil rights, violating the law with them, why wouldn't we believe that a department that at the top is corrupt and lawless would not be corrupt and lawless with police officers at the bottom?
Well, it always starts at the top. The atmosphere gets set. And when you are perfectly willing to violate the law, and flout, what you're required to do by law at the top, at the highest levels of the police department, and do so unapologetically, well, then what do you expect is going to happen down on the lower levels with the police officers? They've already gotten the message.
Mm.
And it gets worse.
First
of all, the things that they changed, they took out a provision in there that said that the CRB could sit in on interviews with witnesses. Just removed it. And it said in there that the members of civilian review could be fired by the police department with good cause. They took out the phrase good cause.
Mm.
So those are the kinds of changes. And other things were just, this bill was passed very quickly in order to head off anything that might be happening in the Board of Aldermen. So then they had a bunch of cleaning up to do. You know, language was unclear, and they had to rearrange things and, you know, put the bill together after the fact. This is the worst. Well, I don't know what's the worst part, but it gets worse. If you look at the minutes for that meeting, the minutes were incorrect and justified one of those most important changes that were made by incorrectly reporting what happened at the meeting.
What do you mean they were incorrect?
Well, the chief had offered three amendments at the public meeting, and the minutes misreport the amendments. They just plain got one of them wrong. They ignore what the chief wanted amended and substituted this quote-unquote amendment for removing the paragraph about CRB being able to sit in with witnesses.
Okay, I'm confused.
Hard to follow.
Yeah.
There was a phrase in there that's a clause that said that the Civilian Review Board could sit in on interviews with witnesses.
All right.
Well, the minutes report that was amended, that it was, you know, that the board voted to omit that clause.
But they didn't.
In actual fact, they didn't.
Wow.
And so it was taken out of the proposal. But it was never, and reported that it was done legitimately.
So that takes a whole lot of, that's hard to say that I just forgot to cross my T. I mean, that is hardly a slip of the tongue, slip of the pen.
It's really hard. It's really hard to justify, and the way the police department justified it to me yesterday makes it even worse, because their justification was, they said, well, you're right, that's not what was said at the meeting, and the minutes don't reflect what was said. But in actual fact, when we voted to accept the chief's amendments, we weren't accepting the amendments that he said out loud. We were accepting a written document that the chief had submitted to us earlier.
And that nobody had seen.
The police board had seen it, I guess. At the meeting, it was real clear they didn't know what was going on. But they're justifying this inaccurate minutes by saying, well, we adopted something that was never brought up at the meeting.
Wow.
So there's another Sunshine Law violation.
Wow.
You can't just have a document behind the scenes. And the chief stood up there and said, I'm offering three amendments, and they voted. And
so
they
then
his three amendments. But in actual fact, they're now saying, oh, we weren't accepting what he said. We're accepting something that he wrote down and handed to us behind the scenes.
So what's the purpose of someone saying that these are the amendments? Then no one should stand up and say anything, right?
Well, I guess it's all for show, Liz. It seems like it's
no, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. I mean, it is all. So the chief will get up and say something that is totally inaccurate, and the board will giggle behind his back and say, that's not what we're approving. We're voting on something else. That's insanity.
I don't know if it was behind the chief's back or with his knowledge. It's hard to say.
Yeah, that
but,
too.
Nevertheless,
that
thing was going on.
And these are the people that are in charge of governing and policing our police force, right? And these are the people that want to be in charge of the Civilian Review Board, right?
That's right. And this is a body, the Civilian Review Board, that's supposed to be about citizen input, citizen.
No, this is
for the citizens.
This is who the police tell us. This is our Civilian Review Board.
Right.
I mean, to hear those on the opposite side of the issue to tell the story, we already have a Civilian Review Board. Well, if this is it, then this is why we need another one.
That's exactly why, and it's why we need local control of the police, because these people are appointed by the governor. They have no constituency here in St. Louis.
And they can
accountable to.
And they absolutely, they don't keep minutes of their own meetings. They don't tell the public about what the public meetings are. They change documents that they don't have the authority to change. We need a Civilian Review Board with transparency. And again, this again shows what Francis Slay wants.
That's right, because this was all Francis Slade's proposal that they were busy passing.
Absolutely.
And so he's behind the whole thing.
Absolutely.
And then, to make it even worse, one more thing, even worse. You know, they made a big point at this meeting about, well, some people are going to like our proposal and some people won't like it, but we have to do something. It's time to act. Let's get going on Civilian Review. So then, 2 weeks later, the budget from the police department goes to the Board of Aldermen. And they list what they're going to be spending money on for the next year. Well, there's no line item in the budget for Civilian Review for this coming year.
So they wanted
when they were asked about it, they said, oh, that's because We're not providing any money for it.
So we want to kill it with the way that it's written. We want to lie about it when we pass it, and we want to starve it to death by not funding it.
Exactly.
But let us be in charge.
And they said, well, we're hoping for a federal grant, which we've applied for every year since 2004 and never gotten.
Mm.
And that's where we're hoping the money's going to come from.
Yeah, right. I believe that too.
That's how much they care about civilian review.
That's how much they don't want true civilian review.
Exactly.
Thanks for your call, John.
Sure. Take care.
We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about.
Yeah.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
The average parent thinks she's prepared for a medical emergency.
After all, the average parent knows when his child needs help.
The average parent knows to call 911.
The average parent knows if her child has allergies.
The average parent knows his child's medications.
But the average parent doesn't know CPR.
The average parent doesn't know how to treat severe burns.
The average parent doesn't know what to do when a child isn't breathing.
The average parent doesn't know how to react to sudden illness or seizure.
Maybe it's time you asked yourself one simple question. Do you really want to be an average parent? You can't always prevent emergencies, but you can be better prepared. Talk with your healthcare provider or call for a brochure. 1-888-ASK-HRSA. That's 1-888-ASK-HRSA. And get the right care when it counts.
What do hair, feet, wings, and a tiara all have in common?
Find out in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
Hey, pretty baby with the high heels on. I like the proof of your walk, your song, your set.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Baghdad. Word from American military officials that Iraqi soldiers in the volatile Al Anbar province are walking away from their units in huge numbers. Officials say the major complaints are poor housing, bad food, and erratic pay. Many of them have not gotten a paycheck in 6 months, and some of the soldiers say they have gone 2 or 3 days at a time without any meals. The 4th Brigade of the 7th Iraqi Army has lost about half of its men in the last 6 months. This has prevented American forces from reducing their numbers in the Al Anbar region. The problem is the same in Haditha, where the alleged massacre of citizens took place last year. The Army Brigade there has dropped from 2,000 at the start of this year to less than 1,600 at the end of last month. The situation reached a peak in April of this year when hundreds of Iraqi soldiers went on strike and refused to go out on patrol or stand guard at the various installations they partner with American Marines at. This caused hard feelings with the Americans, who then refused to share some of the amenities with them on the bases. Iraqi soldiers do not have any signed contracts for Army duty, meaning they can literally leave anytime they feel like it without any legal penalties. And Dateline Paris. Residents of Gay Paris have been leaving the city at a rate of about 1% a year. The population is currently just over 2 million people. Some of the major complaints are traffic, pollution, lack of affordable housing and office space, and too few parks and open spaces. The mayor of Paris, Bertrand Delano, says he has come up with a plan to stem the population loss and make Paris a grand city once again. His blueprint involves converting old railroad sidings into areas of new housing in the part of town set to be the host of the 2012 Olympic Games. He also wants to enclose the 10-lane highway that circles the city and create a green area and shopping mall over the top of the freeway. In addition, he wants to eliminate the number of parking lots in Paris by 10% and use those lands for more housing. He says creating more housing and green spaces will improve the quality of life for city residents well into the 21st century. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, this is George Cotton.
And this is Syl Wilson.
Hey, tune us in every Tuesday evening, 8 to 10 p.m.
for The Real Deal with George and Syl.
That's right, every Tuesday evening, 8 to 10 p.m. We'll see you there.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Oh, my goodness. We're going to be talking about a book. In the 9 o'clock hour, yes, we are. We're going to be talking about a satire book, One Nation Under George, Z.M. Wagner. We're going to be talking to him at 9 o'clock, and coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, Erling Thomas is going to be in the studio. We're going to be talking about what dads can do, dads that, and this whole child support issue. We're going to be talking about that. You don't want to miss that in the 7 o'clock hour, next hour, actually. But I want to talk about something. I'm going to talk about something. Explain to me why this isn't a bigger story. I'm looking at USA Today from yesterday. I'm looking at it from yesterday. And there's a story on the money section. Slumping stocks hint at correction. Through all the gyrations in the stocks in the past several years, investors could find comfort in the fact that the broad market has gone a long time without a correction. That comfort soon could be a thing of the past. A month-long slide has dropped the Russell 2000 Small Company Stock Index into correction territory. That's a drop of 10% or more. The stock market is plunging. It's almost correcting itself. Things are bad. Why aren't we hearing more about this? How our economy is hanging on by a thread. Housing prices are dropping. I mean, it's a buyer's market. How wasn't it just 4 months ago, 5 months ago that little house next to me that sold for $40,000 2 years ago went for $75,000? Hello? The housing market has cooled off in a record way. Oh, it's a buyer's market now. Y'all can, if you're looking to buy a house, I'd hold off because prices are dropping. I mean, good for you as the buyer, bad for us as a nation and our economy. Bad for us as a nation and our economy. Mm. 454-0400 is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Good news coming out of the Supreme Court. How could that be? How could that be? The U.S. Supreme Court ruled yesterday that death row inmates can challenge the lethal injection method of execution and can get new hearings when DNA or other evidence later casts doubt on their guilt. While that is fabulous news, while that is a decision that takes a step, a halting step towards the idea of democracy and a fair and just nation, it takes a halting step in that direction. One still has to ask the question of, wow, it took us to the year 2006 to get to this place. In a pair of rulings, the high court kept alive a Florida death row inmates challenge to the state's three chemical cocktail and said a Tennessee death row inmate may proceed with his innocent claims based upon new evidence. The justices unanimously, that means everybody, y'all, everybody said that Florida death row inmate Clarence Hill can pursue his challenge to the chemicals on the grounds that they cause unnecessary pain. And in another case, the court in a 5-3 vote said that Tennessee death row inmate Paul House should get a new chance to prove his innocence based on DNA and other evidence unavailable at the time of his conviction in 1985 for the murder of a female neighbor. The court cited DNA tests showing that the semen on the victim's clothes actually belonged to her husband and other evidence that her husband may have committed the murder. Also, small blood stains found on House and Paul House's on death row on House's jeans may have spilled onto the pants from a vial of blood taken from the victim during an autopsy. Come on. Why wasn't that a unanimous decision as well? Whoo, 1-877-920-WGNU, get to me. Dee!
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
How are you?
I'm excellent, as are you. The buyer's market, and the, you know, the state that our money is in.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening this morning when they said that the prisoners will now have to pay $135 the first day and last day of incarceration, and $35 daily.
$35
daily. Now, we're not even considering how much money these prisoners are generating while they're incarcerated, but now they have to pay $135 the first day and the last day, and $35 daily.
How much money do they get if they're innocent? Oh, that's $50 a day. Ain't that something?
That's something. What the?
What the indeed.
Have a good day.
My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to talk about what fathers can do, custody issues, the battles and the challenges that they face in this system. Stay with us. Arlene Thomas is going to join us.
For power, nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's below me.
I think I'm hearing better.
It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. No indictment for White House advisor Karl Rove in the leak of a CIA operative's identity. ABC's Ann Compton with the details from the White House.
In what must be a huge sigh of relief, Karl Rove's attorney issued a two-sentence statement confirming that yesterday the federal prosecutor informed him no indictment in the leak case, which has another White House aide, Scooter Libby, facing trial. Rove has been living under a cloud, having testified before a grand jury five times, but his name was never cleared. Rove did speak to reporters about the name of a CIA operative, but denied he was the source of the damaging leak. And come to ABC News, the White House.
When we hear that there might be an evacuation, you have to get started early.
Yeah, they're beating a hasty retreat from Florida's Gulf Coast before Tropical Storm Alberta arrives, which, by the way, could be just about any time now. ABC's Mike Von Fremd is waiting it out in Cedar Key.
They had a mandatory evacuation of Cedar Key last night, and hopefully people took it seriously, because right now we're getting wind gusts of 55 miles an hour. We are getting tremendous wave action. The seawall is just taking a terrible pounding, and it's coming right at high tide.
Alberto is just below hurricane strength, winds up to 65 miles an hour. Forecasters say the main threat from this storm is rain and storm surge. If the chief judge in Saddam Hussein's trial has his way, things will be winding down very soon. The judge tells the defense team that this is their last day for witnesses. Saddam's legal team says it's being rushed, and that's not fair. The National Guard's border mission doesn't officially begin until Thursday, but troops are already hard at work in Arizona and New Mexico.
The one thing that's surprising to see is how border crossers don't seem to care about the military presence. Even though Guard members are along the border, they say people walk right past them, beyond where they're building a new fence, and they walk into the U.S. Under the rules, all the Guard can do is radio the Border Patrol.
ABC's Alex Stone, ABC News.
Big at Office Depot on the latest technology for Father's Day. Come into Office Depot today for great savings like $50 off all camera and printer bundles and $150 off 15-inch LCD flat panel monitors, both after mail-in savings. Plus, save up to $300 on select notebook computers. Get Dad the hottest technology at low prices, all at Office Depot. Available in-store only while supplies last, quantities limited.
You may be sitting there right now wondering how you're going to make it through the day. Do you worry yourself sick? Beat yourself up or put yourself down? This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams, remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please let me help you help yourself. Call 1-800-500-2001. That's 1-800-500-2001. 1-800-500-2001.
If you ever saw the eBay ad for the Reno murder suspect, you'd never guess this guy was wanted. ABC's Gil Gross has a story.
His eBay website starts out, "My name is Darren Mack." He writes of a business ethic he calls unshakable and writes of his integrity. One picture has him at the center of a family photo with wife Sharla, who he calls a lovely young lady, and his, quote, three beautiful children. Another picture shows him smiling with his mother Joan's arms around him. None of this says anything about a business on the brink of disaster and a divorce one attorney called a very, very heated and emotional one. Gil Gross, ABC News.
There's a new insurance industry report out today. It says thousands of fatal auto crashes might be able to have been prevented if more vehicles were equipped with stability controls that prevent rollovers. The devices are available in most cars, and stability control automatically applies the brakes to individual wheels if it senses a vehicle is veering off course. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the Major Case Squad is investigating the death of a woman in Warren County. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports the 33-year-old victim's boyfriend found her body on Sunday in her home near Warrenton. The woman's name hasn't been released. More information could be released this afternoon. Two men are going to prison for more than 20 years for an attempted bank robbery that led to the death of a security guard. Dominic Price and Cortez Edwards were each sentenced yesterday to 24 years in prison for the attempted robbery of a Bank of America on Goodfellow in 2002. A jury has recommended the death penalty for Robert Bolden for the murder of guard Nathan Lay during that robbery attempt. Bolden's formal sentencing is set for August. An Alton police officer who was nearly killed in a crash last year is a new father. The Alton Telegraph reports that Officer Sam Riney's wife gave birth to their first child, a boy, on May 27th. Mother and baby are doing well. On December 19th, Riney collided head-on with an alleged drunk driver. Orville Sherwood has since pleaded guilty to aggravated drunken driving and faces up to 12 years in prison. Finally this hour, Boeing and two of its supplier partners are being honored by the Defense Department. Nunn Perry Awards were given yesterday to Boeing, St. Louis-based Chemco Manufacturing, and Oklahoma-based Precision Machine and Manufacturing as part of the Defense Department's Mentor-Protege program. Dan Corte with Boeing says companies like his need companies like Chemco and PMM.
These smaller companies bring some of the best technologies into the marketplace today. We need to work with them so they bring the energy, they bring the best resources available so that we can build the products that we build.
The Mentor-Protege program allows defense contractors to help disadvantaged businesses work to improve processes and technologies. Chemco is a first-time recipient, while PMM has received the award twice. Boeing has received four Nunn Perry Awards in the last 3 years. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Gutter Monster from St. Clair. Gutter Monster, gutter protection that does more than keep leads out. Call 800-444-1884 and save 20%. Gutter Monster from St. Clair, bringing your home the very best for over 120 years. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170. Look for very heavy volume in the right lane. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44 slow. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Woodsmill. Look for no delays there. Eastbound 70 from K to 79. Look for very slow traffic going on there as well. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for paving operations reduced to 3 lanes. Traffic is slow to near 64. And eastbound at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for paving operations. Right lanes closed there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic between 5570 and Cleve Landing. Look for very heavy volume as stop and go all the way from the Illinois Bank into Cleve Landing. Northbound Route 3 at Monsanto on the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound East Bridge traffic is running smoothly this hour. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's Tasty and Hearty Bacon, Egg, and Cheese Breakfast Burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's Classic Tots or Fries and a regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic, it's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy with a high near 80 today. This evening mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s. Wednesday partly sunny, a high in the mid-80s. And Thursday partly cloudy, a high near 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have mostly clear skies, 61 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown.
Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
For power. Please do not beg folks for power.
Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that Scott Luther is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brother. How can you sit there?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. This morning, we have talked a little bit about this issue. It was in the news, and it is something that there's not a whole lot of focus that is placed upon this part of the issue. And a story in the news brought us full circle to facing this issue. Men and child support. We've had it in the news in terms of political candidates. We've had it in the news in terms of men killing other people. We need to talk about the system and how it treats men that have to pay child support, what men go through, what the system goes through, what people go through in this system. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me this morning attorney Earlene Thomas. Earlene, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and to your listeners.
How are you?
I'm great. As I told you, it's a whole different world out here this early in the morning.
Yeah, it's a wonderful world. Sun is up.
But it's nice and cool and wonderful.
Yes, it is. Give me your take, Earlene, on the story that came out of the city of St. Louis with the man who shot and killed his employers and I believe the mother of his children. How do you think, tell us about your take on that. What did you think when you first heard that story?
Well, Liz, let me first preface it by saying, as I tell my clients, either male or female, a child or children are due financial support and assistance. I represent probably as many women as I do men, women who are trying to get their child support, deservedly so, men who are doing all they can, and often I'm frustrated because the clients that come to me, these are men who initiate the child support. They want to do what's right, but those men never get talked about. You never read about, you know, the father who's almost crying. All he wants to do is see his child do, you know, what's involved. And so the issue of custody and issue of child support are two totally different issues that often get kind of mixed in together. But the issue of child support, I think, is not just that the father or the non-custodial parent has to pay child support. It's this system whereby you have this faceless state agency, and several years ago, because of federal mandates, The child support system was all put into one central location in the state capital of various states. So whereas in the past, a man who lived in the city of St. Louis could go down to the court and pay his child support. You know, he could see the person he was handing the money or the check or whatever to. Now you've got this faceless system down in Jefferson City. You've got underpaid, overworked government bureaucrats in the state of Missouri who are constantly being reduced by the boy governor. And so you've got the human aspect of just being overwhelmed.
And a bureaucratic system.
And the bureaucratic system.
And an untouchable bureaucratic system. You know, unless you drive up to Jefferson City, it is untouchable.
And even there's stories of people who even gone to Jefferson City. And then on top of that, you've got this pervasive notion of the deadbeat dad. Yes, there are some men who will do everything they can, will quit good jobs in order to avoid child support. But it gets beyond the child support. It's really the relationship, and that's what gets so caught up in it, is the relationship between the father and the mother. And child support is sort of put in there to be bandied back and forth. So you've got this notion that every man that doesn't have custody of his child and paying child support, if he misses $2 off of a $10 payment, he's a deadbeat dad. So with this overwhelming sense that, you know, every dad is a deadbeat dad, you then have these bureaucrats, when a father is trying to deal with the system, do what's right, somehow or another he's lumped in with everyone else, and often that's how he's treated. Couple of horror stories. I just finished a case. In fact, it's an ongoing case. I have a client who has a number of children. He came to me. He said, I have one child living with me. He's not been married to any of the mothers, and I want to go to court because I understand that's the only way I can get my custody and visitation rights and also to get all my child support in order. Came to court. We had two cases going at the same time. One mother came to court. They have a very good relationship as far as being parents of a common child. And he had only been paying her, I think, $20 a month from way back when he was right out of high school. He says, I know that's not enough, Ms. Thomas. You know, I'm working now, and even with my other children, she should be getting more. So he came to me, and we went to court and filed paternity and custody and child support, and her child support was increased. They mutually agreed that he would pay her directly, and the father and the mother, well, the mother, rather, has that option if she's willing to be paid directly by the father. They agreed, and I suggested postal money orders. It's pretty hard to steal or counterfeit or whatever postal money orders. That's in the judgment that Judge Frawley signed.
So wait a minute. It doesn't have to, when there is a divorce or a custody hearing and the father is ordered to pay child support, it doesn't have to automatically be docked out of his pay.
If the mother or the receiving parent agrees. It's up to the receiving parent. And many mothers say, yeah, I don't want my check to have to go to Jefferson City and then be deposited and then be written to me. They mutually agree.
Okay.
Now, had she said, now I want it coming through child support, it would have had to go through child support.
Okay.
They mutually agree.
Can she change her mind later on?
She certainly can.
Okay.
They signed the consent papers, and then, of course, Judge Frawley just signed off. He said, fine, this is what you all agreed to. I will order this to be so. He was to pay her $150 a month. Again, he voluntarily went from $20 to $150, plus that was more than he should have paid. He said, I'll pay her a little bit more. He has a child in his custody, and he's got another child that we were dealing with in court of child support. And
so he had two children?
No.
Okay.
He has about six.
Okay.
But we were in court on two.
Okay.
He had one who was already in his custody, and then we're filing, you know, on the other kids. Again, he initiated all of this.
Right.
All of a sudden, he tells me he gives her first month's pay. And he says, Miss Thomas, in addition to the child support that was already coming out for another child, he said, they're taking the $150. My job told me they just got a thing from child support. Well, why? Because you all have an agreement. He went personally up on page, took the court order, saying, look, I'm paying her directly. Here's my stub for my first money order. And I always tell my clients, not just the stub, make a photocopy of the face of the money order.
Right.
And they says, well, I don't know how this came about, but you're going to have to get the judge to write an order. So I went back to Judge Frawley. I said, Judge Frawley, these people are telling him he needs an order for them to stop taking out. Well, I mean, you probably dealt with Frawley. Frawley says, I'm not going to write them an order to follow a court order. He said it's already written in black and white. My client called up there two or three times. He went up there in person on at least two occasions with court documents. And as far as I know, I don't know if it's still been straightened out, okay? Was in court last week in the county. There was a gentleman who had had his son, physical custody of his son since he was 6 months old. He and the mother, he was married. They were separated. She gets on the notion that she's going to go file for child support. She goes and files for child support, even though he has custody of the child. He gets the paperwork notifying him that this, you know, request has been made for child support. He physically goes up to one of the child support offices with the child, who was 12 at that time, and saying, look, here's the school records, blah, blah, blah. I have custody of the child. Oh, okay, sir, well, then just forget about it. So he does. Now, he's paying child support for two other children who are not in his custody. He said he noticed his child support deduction went up a little bit, but he didn't pay that much attention, thinking this is just sort of a normal increase. Well, lo and behold, for the last 5 years, they've been taking out child support for a child that he went up there in person with documentation saying, I have the child. They said, okay, fine, don't worry about it. And he's now, you know, like, what do I do? How many times do I have to go there?
What does he do? And does he get his money back? Because that's fraud, isn't it? Is it fraud on her part to go up and ask for child support for a child that she doesn't have custody of?
Certainly it is. But now the mother has disappeared. She's gone to Texas. You know, states have sovereign immunity. Mm-hmm. So you just get into this whole, well, you really can't sue us unless we say you can sue us. You know, what I suggest, first and foremost, I guess the message I want to get out there, particularly to men who are not married to the mother, let's go back to this child is in the womb.
Okay.
I'm 57 years old. I'll be 58 in June on the 26th. I was raised at a time when a man who impregnated a woman out of wedlock was told to do the right thing.
Marry her
and give that baby a name. I never understood what they mean, give that baby a name. I have gone completely 360 degree opposite.
And you got married. And you had a child.
Yes.
So you did all of that.
I did all the things right. You know, got my education, then I got married, then I had a child. Okay. And I would tell anyone now, I just told a client's mother a couple weeks ago, I don't care if they've been going together since they went to high school and their junior's in college. I don't care if they live together. Do not tell him, do not sign those documents in the hospital putting his name on the birth certificate. I'm almost to the point of telling married men not to do that, because I've talked to other
married men.
I've talked to other attorneys and judges, and on the QT, I would estimate that anywhere from a fourth to a third of children born within marriage.
Within marriage.
Within marriage is mama's baby, daddy's maybe. Okay.
Mama's baby, daddy's maybe.
But outside of marriage, since the mom has the child, and we're not talking about surrogacy, that doesn't happen that much in our culture. So let's assume that the child that the mother's carrying is her egg, is her child. If the father signs those documents in the hospital saying that he is the father and put his name on the birth certificate, now I believe it's only 30 days he has to take it off. Otherwise, you're stuck.
And let's explain what you mean when you say that you're stuck. The law has changed now, right?
Right.
In terms of who is the biological father and who has the obligation. Explain that change.
Well, at one point in time, the father could voluntarily put his name on the birth certificate, because when you're married, it's assumed that every child you have is your husband's child. And that's a whole other issue we're going to get into. But when you're not married, unless the father agrees to it, you cannot just put anyone's name on the birth certificate. If that's the case, I would imagine Rockefeller or probably these days Bill Gates. You know, Bill Gates is the daddy. So the father has to sign documentation, which is notarized. Well, what happens now, I understand, when the child is born, almost within hours, a social worker from the hospital, someone will come in with the papers. You know, and here this guy's got his chest all stuck out. You know, I'm a dad, blah, blah, blah. Sir, do you want to put your name on the birth certificate? Well, in the past, he had a period of time where he could come in and say, wait a minute, I want to have DNA, and I want to question this and have this change. Well, the state, in their effort not to have to pay out welfare or whatever, they're trying to get a father, somebody responsible, as early as possible. So now, if you don't remove your name in 30 days, you have a very hard road, an almost impossible road to, you know, to climb, to then say, I'm not financially responsible. And by financially responsible, we mean child support.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
And hasn't it gone so far, Earlene, as the courts, that even if you discover that you are the father or are not the father of that child, the courts are saying what now?
Too bad, so sad. You are SOL, out of luck. It happened to a member of my family who came to me after the fact. And, of course, when I looked at the picture, I'm like, no, I don't think so.
But you don't think that that's her baby, that's his baby?
Wasn't my place to say anything.
Okay.
You don't go to a person, I don't think that's your baby. Look at it. But at any rate, where fathers get into trouble, they get the papers from child support, and they say, oh, well, hey, I don't mind paying child support, so they don't answer. They don't respond to the papers in the first place. Or you got the guy who uses his mama or his granny's or his auntie's address, but he's all over the place, so he doesn't get his mail. He doesn't respond. Boom. He gets a default finding.
Right.
That's what happened in this case. You get a default finding. That's fine. It's my child. I want to pay child support. 5 years later, you discover that this is not your child because someone comes to you and said, I know who the real daddy is. And you say, oh, let me go have DNA. And the DNA comes back and said, guess what? You are not the biological father. But because the case from child support had been documented and docketed in court, there's something called res judicata, meaning this thing is going to rest. It's going to end here. Now, Liz, what they do, they're bringing the cases in court directly. So the attorney general's office or the prosecuting attorney, they're now filing child support cases or modifications directly in court.
What does that mean?
Well, what was happening, let's say that you had someone who filed a paternity and custody case in court saying, okay, I want the court to make a determination that I'm the father, therefore I have my visitation and custody rights, and guys, that's the only way you can get custody rights is through the court. And when you get custody and visitation rights, and I even kind of did some sample child support forms, there's actually a reduction in your child support because after a lot of lobbying by some fathers' groups, the courts recognize and the legislature recognize we need to give these guys a credit. We need to reduce their child support because they have these children a certain amount of time. So when you have custody rights, there's a place actually in the calculations for child support where your child support can be reduced. Since the child support agency is not a court of law, they cannot give you that deduction. So what was happening, let's say you had a guy who came to court and either through a divorce or through a court action for paternity and support, they got the reduction. 3 years later, the mom goes back for a modification. Well, because she was going back to child support enforcement and they cannot give you any kind of deduction for the visitation, they were basically erasing what a court of law had given them. And so you had this whole dichotomy between, well, how can an agency, you know, undo what a court of law is? And so this went back and forth and back and forth. So to I guess, deal with that situation, most child support cases now, especially the modifications, they're filing them in court, which means you're going to have a right off the bat, judge's order, court order, that can be modified. If there is a court order and you are found to be the father for purposes of child support, even if you get DNA subsequently, it's too bad.
And what and one of the reasons for this is the courts are, aren't the judges and the courts saying, or the legislation, the intent behind the legislation is that this child, if you've been paying child support to this child for 7 years, you have a presumably you have a relationship with this child. You have acted as a father to this child, and that it is unfair to the child at this point in time for him not to have that support and not to have that relationship. You've acted like a father for 7 years, so you are the father of this child.
And even if there's been no physical relationship and all you've done is to pay the child support, as you say, the state is saying, look, we're not going to make this child, you know, a pauper just all of a sudden now because, hey, at some point in time, res judicata simply means at some point in time there has to be an end to
the case.
A case. So, you know, again, mama, bless her soul, my dad and everybody who raised me, yes, this is your child saying this. Men, if you are not married to the mother, don't sign anything. I don't care if you've been living with them 15 years.
Check it out.
You ask for DNA. You know, now some guys will say, well, you know, I don't want to do that because, you know, she may get mad at me or, you know, she basically, I'm accusing her of something and this may end our relationship. It may, but what's going to happen again 5-10 years down the line when you find out this is not your child?
There you go. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Earlene Thomas. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. I'll be back.
And strong. It does not know defeat. I feel it high. And know the sound of truth.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap. Weekday afternoons, immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920, WGNU.
Radio caller, away!
Folks, that's the Sloan Ranger. Catch him weekdays at 5 p.m. here on WGNU.
Philip Person Roofing is a licensed and certified roofing contractor offering a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Whether commercial or residential, you can finance any new roof with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127, 361-7127. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Fazoli's new bottomless bowls. Westbound 255 at Illinois 3 and Jefferson Barracks Bridge. Look for an accident. Left shoulder. There are no delays. Westbound 270 from New Florissant to 170. Slow traffic in the right lane. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44. You've got slow traffic in pockets there as well. Eastbound 70 from K to 79. Look for slow traffic. And westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Paving operations have it reduced to 3 lanes. And traffic is slow near 64 eastbound on Poplar Street Bridge. The right lane is closed for the same thing. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at 5570 and LaFleet Landing. Look for heavy volume going on all the way back through the Illinois Bank. And westbound 64 on Ball Avenue and the 5570 split. Look for slow traffic there. Northbound Route 3 from Monsanto onto the PSB at Stop and Go. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Fazoli's new bottomless bowls. Introducing Fazoli's new bottomless bowls. All you can eat bowls of spaghetti with hearty meat or marinara sauce or Fazoli's fettuccine with cheesy Alfredo sauce. All for just $3.49. New bottomless bowls for a limited time only at Fazoli's. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy today, high around 80. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take a look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Does your life need to be energized? Are you in need of some direction and clarity? Is your stuff dragging you down?
Tune into Sort It Out with Lori and Claire, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. We'll help you find the courage to make a change in your life.
The St. Louis Art Museum presents Remote Viewing on Thursday, June 22nd, starting at 7 p.m. Join Robin Clark and Ati Meyer for a discussion of this exhibition, which surveys emerging trends in contemporary painting and drawing. Admission is free. For more info, call 314-721-0072. Something for you from WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done.
So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Now I'm down by the river, taking off my shoes, jumping in the water, washing away these blues. Down in the ocean, current takes hold. Words already been spoken, tales already been told. Hearts already been broken, wounds already been healed. Do you wanna be loved? Do you wanna be loved for real?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to attorney Earlene Thomas, and we're talking about child support, what men have to go through, what the system does, and what people need to be aware of. Kind of a heads up on this. And before we get to that, I want to remind or tell everybody that this Saturday you have an opportunity to join Fire for their golf tournament. That's right. It's this weekend, and it's the fourth annual Fire Golf Tournament. You can still sponsor a hole. A par hole is $750. Eagle hole is $2,000. Hole in one, $3,000. So if you'd like to be part of the Fire fourth annual golf tournament, you need to give Guy Jennings a call at 393-3231. That's 393-3231. Join him. It's going to be a fabulous week, and it's always a lot of fun at the Fire Golf Tournament. You'd want to be part of this. So, and it's a way to support the organization, too. So give him a call at 393-3231. That's Guy Jennings. Let me get to a caller or two. Carrie, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Liz, and good morning to your guests. I just wanted to bring up, maybe if I have time, I'll bring up two situations, but the first situation is a case where I was sued for child support out of the state of Mississippi, where the child had grown to 7 years of age, and they came and subpoenaed me, and a non-relative signed the subpoena. I never knew that I was supposed to go to court. I get sued for child support. I was paying $568 a month. That didn't include $135 a month insurance. For 14 months, I had to pay that, and I had to come up with $1,500 for a retainer to get a lawyer, which I was getting that taken out of your check, and trying to come up with the money for the lawyer was so hard. Anyway, to make a long story short, I get a chance to go to court, 14 months later. I get a DNA test, come to find out that the child isn't mine, and they didn't give me a dime of my money back, not one single dime of the money back. And the child was 7 years of age.
But you did not have to pay, you no longer had to pay child support. Or you didn't you didn't have to pay child support.
No, they stopped it after that.
Okay.
Because they had only collected it for like 14 months.
Okay.
In another situation.
Well, I gotta let that be the last story, but thank you for that.
Thank you.
And Earlene, you've heard this before?
Well, he said this was out of Mississippi.
Right.
And of course you know that jurisdiction lies with where the child is.
Right.
So if this case was filed out of Mississippi, that's a totally different state.
Right. And
totally different set of rules.
Well, we even have different rules in the state of Missouri.
Sure.
Because you and I were just talking off the air about the fact that here on this side of the jurisdiction, well, explain the difference between the two, between jurisdictionally here in the state of Missouri.
Okay. The last time I checked, and this was right after I had dealt with the case I told you about, and I really can't say whether it's changed much since then, but at that time, the laws were different on the western side of Missouri. Missouri, if you just look, think about it and draw a line straight down the middle from north to south, we're in different appellate jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the western appellate region, which is the Kansas City side is where the court sits, and you've got the eastern district, which is in the St. Louis side.
Well, Liz, as you know, different appellate level courts can rule differently on the same issue.
Mm-hmm.
In the federal district, you may have a set of laws and the way cases are interpreted one way in a district in California, which tends to be more liberal, let's say, than a district that is in the Midwest, or you may have one.
Or Utah.
Or Utah, mm-hmm. a district that covers that. So in Missouri, the last time I checked on the Kansas City, on the western side of the state, the appeals court has taken a different viewpoint in the case where a father finds out that the child is not his because of DNA and whether he can, you know, sue the mom for fraud or go back and stop it or what have you. You know, my word of caution, because these cases go, you know, change from one day to the other depending on who's on the Supreme Court in Missouri, mm-hmm. who's on the appellate level, who's on the local court. You know, my word of caution is nip it in the bud from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, I mean, I tell young guys when they say, you know, this girl says I got a baby. Guys, you just got to be particular about who mm-hmm. you're dealing with,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. A casual sexual relationship could turn into a lifelong contact because this woman may bear your child.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happens. The way the child is conceived is where all the drama comes in because maybe, you know, as far as mom concerns, this was a cute guy that she got a chance to sleep with. He cares nothing about her. Maybe she's infatuated with him. And then, of course, as he goes on about his business and she's hurt because now mm-hmm. she has to admit, well, gee, I had a one-night stand. This guy may have a one-night stand or two-night or whatever with somebody that he would never want to introduce to his friends.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden when this is his baby's mama
mm-hmm.
that he's got to deal with, you have all these relationships. You may have had a very loving relationship
mm-hmm.
where a child was conceived and then the relationship ends. You know, then you've got the jealousy because, you know, I get calls all the time and guys start telling me, you know, I was seeing my child every weekend and then all of a sudden, you know, the last 2 months, you know, his mother won't let me see him.
And that's the other piece of it, too, the challenging piece is the way that our society is that the woman really is in the driver's seat in terms of, oftentimes is in the driver's seat in terms of deciding the contact that the father's going to have to the child. And I don't know what the answer to that is, Earlene. I mean, you've been in this business for a while. What's the answer to that?
10, 11 years. Again, when the child is born outside of marriage,
mm-hmm.
outside of marriage, until a court of law dictates and says you are the father for purposes of custody, it's mama's baby. That mama had this baby, so we know it's her child.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got the custody rights. Dad has no legal rights
unless and until he goes to court. So, and here's the thing. Fathers are going to pay child support whether they go to court for custody issues at all. The money's coming from you. So it's incumbent upon the fathers, okay, she won't let you see the child, then you need to go to court and get an enforceable document. And even that's not going to necessarily determine that you'll be able to see your child without some drama, but at least you have something on your side that says, Mr. Police Officer, I'm going to this house right now to get my baby because this court document says I'm supposed to have my baby right now.
Right, and I've never had a guy call me and say, excuse me, when he had his visitation papers, and I usually tell them, make several copies. Keep one in your pocket. Give your mama one. Give your wife
and
your girlfriend
one. Keep one in your glove compartment.
Keep one in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Give one to two or three different people so if you lose yours, mm-hmm. you can call them and say, look, bring me my custody papers
right.
over here. I've never yet had a situation where a person said to me after showing that to a police officer that police officer said, I don't care. When they pull those papers out, the police officer will say, ma'am, he has a right. This is his weekend. In addition, there is a next step that a non-custodial parent who is usually the father can take. If he has custodial papers from a court of law, he can take mom back to court and just like she can go back to court because he's behind in child support
mm-hmm.
and have civil contempt charges mm-hmm. filed, they can do that with mom. And there have been cases, you don't hear a lot about it, where moms have been locked up
mm-hmm.
because they would not follow the visitation order. You know, let me point this out too, Liz. Like I said, I represent men and women.
And hold that thought because we have to take another break and we have to get to some callers too. We're talking about child support. We're talking about custody. We're talking about the system with attorney Earlene Thomas. Earlene, want to give you a number out right quick?
Sure, Liz. It's 314-454-1811, 454-1811.
Very good. We'll be back after this. Stay with us.
I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hey, it's Brian Self from The Stranglehold here on WGNU. And you know, some people think that just because The Stranglehold is about pro wrestling, all we do is throw around some chairs and scream real loud.
You can say what you want about our clothes, but, you know, we have no problem in whipping somebody's butt again. We can start with you if you want.
Well, we don't need to do that. Okay, so maybe things tend to get a little excited. However, we're also not afraid to get into some of the serious issues that go beyond the ring.
For me, you know, over the years I've taken Percocets and bike bands and everything, never had a problem. I would take a couple, put the rest in my bag, and never had an issue with it.
Right.
But with the OxyContin, taking quite the 50 pills a day, which should have killed me. There's no reason why I'm still here.
So check it out, The Stranglehold, Tuesday nights at 6:30, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. Free estimates, over 16 years experience. 361-7127, 361-7127.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Washington. It's come to light that 7 Republican members of Congress filed a complaint against the NAACP back in 2004, and that triggered an investigation by the Internal Revenue Service. The problem began on October 8th of 2004 when the NAACP got an IRS notice saying it was being examined for intervening in a political campaign. The IRS said it had come into possession of information that during the organization's convention in Philadelphia in 2004, statements were made opposing George Bush for re-election. The IRS referred specifically to a speech given by Chairman Julian Bond that condemned the policies of the president on education, the economy, and the war. It also contained a threat of a 10% tax for political expenditures and a 2.5% tax on any member of the 64-person board of the NAACP who granted permission for the speech. In January of 2005, the NAACP got a formal audit summons seeking information normally reported in the yearly nonprofit return. The NAACP then told the IRS it declined to respond to the summons. After going back and forth on the issue for most of last year, the NAACP finally filed a request under the Freedom of Information Act to find out what exactly had triggered the audit. So far, it has only revealed heavily censored documents that tell little about the situation. In March of this year, the NAACP tried to force the case into court. It calculated that it spent $176 to have the Julian Bond speech given, so it cut the check. The IRS a check for 10% of that amount, which totaled $17. But the NAACP has also filed for a refund of that $17, saying if it does not get it by September, it's going to go to court for a review of the claim. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update, brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. Philip Person Roofing is a licensed and certified roofing contractor offering a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Whether commercial or residential, you can finance any new roof with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127, 361-7127.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Check out Awaken to Yourself, Tuesday mornings from 11 to 12, where we talk to artists and professionals about ways to improve, enhance, and enrich the quality of your life.
In the great scheme of things, a minute isn't all that much, unless you happen to have a stroke. All of a sudden, those minutes count. Minutes that could mean losing your ability to talk, move, or walk. Which is why, if you can get help in time, your stroke can be treated. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face. If you experience this, call 911 immediately. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Car Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me and I will write you some.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake-Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am here this morning with attorney Earlene Thomas, and we're talking about child support issues. And let me get to some of the callers here on the line. Lawrence, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. And good morning, Ms. Thomas. How
good
are you?
Good morning.
This is an excellent subject you're all speaking about because it's near and dear to my heart. And I'm a graduate of Fatherhood Initiative Program, and I'm a father of three daughters. And two of my daughters is a result of divorce, and my first one is out of wedlock. However, I am a responsible father for my daughters. And we speak about these issues here, and I would like for you to come down and speak to the men of the Father Initiative regarding these issues, because a lot of times the mothers are denying access of the child to the father, and a lot of times the fathers do not have the financial means to where to get attorneys and get lawyers, and they are paying child support.
Okay.
And so the point is we need individuals that can assist these men getting access to their daughters for that child will not grow up saying, well, my father did not spend any quality time with me. And I hear this story too many times on a regular basis.
Okay, I'm going to have to let that be it because we have to get to a number of callers here. But thank you, Lawrence, and I'm going to let Earlene speak to that. The money piece. I mean, it's one thing to say go down and do it. Can people go down and do this by themselves?
Well, as I tell people, you know, I probably could change my oil myself, but I think maybe Jiffy Lube or somebody is a little more expert at it than I am. So, you know, anytime a person calls me, I said, yes, you can do it yourself if you know how to do it. The thing is, I can't stand there and tell you how to do it. That's what people pay me for.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it's a catch-22 situation. That's how I make my living.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, I can't work for free. It's not a very inexpensive process. I was telling you off the air, I knew someone who spent $40,000.
$40,000.
My fees are nowhere near that high, you know, but again, it's not an inexpensive process. I would just tell young men, if you've got a child coming out of wedlock, first of all, don't sign the papers putting your name on the birth certificate. That won't stop the mother from going to child support enforcement. Make sure you know where your mail is going so people aren't accepting your mail and what have you. And then ask for DNA. The minute you get the papers from child support, ask for DNA. If it turns out it's your child, then start putting some money aside. The gentleman I spoke to with the different children, this man started coming to me last year and saying, and I normally don't do this, but he was making decent chunks of deposits.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Ms. Thomas, I'm going to just give you the money until I get to the point when, you know, you've reached the amount that you need to get started.
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes monthly payments after that. So, you know, for all those people out there who got the number 454-1811, I'm not a charity. I mean, this is how I earn my living, so I can't give free legal help.
And again, you're going to have, people are going to, first of all, you need to make certain that when you are involved with people that you don't make babies. I mean, don't make babies. If you can't afford to do it,
don't make babies. Take a cold shower.
Okay, don't make babies that you can't afford. Now, if you do, then you're going to have to find a way to save the money to get the lawyer to get the, because you didn't marry her. If you married her or if you married him, then you'd go through a court process called a divorce, and then the court would decide the child custody issues. You need to put the money aside. You need to find the money and there aren't any free lawyers out there that go into court and do that for you.
And ask yourself, would you rather pay a few thousand dollars now to save several thousand?
And to see your child.
Right.
And to see your child.
Depending on what you make, your child support could be reduced as much as $800
a month. There you go.
Because you have your custody rights.
There you go. Robin.
Good morning.
Good morning. Quickly, please.
Hi, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
Hi, Miss Thomas.
Hi.
That's my girl.
Okay. Quickly.
My question is real quick. My son, he was incarcerated.
I know who that is now. I caught the voice.
Hi, Miss Brown.
Go right ahead.
Okay. My son, he was incarcerated when he was 15 years old, and the young girl, he said, had impregnated her, you know, but she named the baby, the last name was Fouquet. Okay? And so when he got out of jail, his last name was Walton, and she kept saying that it was his baby. And so now she's trying to sue him for child support, and I'm trying to find out if she put the last name at Fouquet. How you do that?
Okay. Doesn't matter
thanks for your call.
Yeah, doesn't matter what the last name is. You can name a child any last name. In fact, you can give the child the father's last name.
Or another father's name.
But you just cannot put him on there as the father in that space that says father unless he signs for it. You know, another thing, when you file for custody, depending on the age of the child, one of the things that you can petition the court to do is to change the child's last name to the father's name. I think this is really important as far as boys are concerned. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but, I mean, we have too many children who are carrying last names who have nothing to do with their lineage.
Mm-hmm. All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone, Steve. Steve. Hello? We lost you, Steve. Mo.
How you doing, Ms. Brown?
Yes. Quickly, please.
I had a situation back in 2000 where, again, I was going to be a father, and I went and sought the help of an attorney to set up a child support and child custody agreement ahead of time. Again, the mother was in agreement with me on that. And again, I wanted to keep the state out of my situation. I wasn't married with the mother at the time. And I wanted to just get your guest's take on that. You know, if the father and the mother are in agreement on a situation like that, get an attorney to set up the agreement and keeping the state out of situation as much as possible.
Let me give you a real quick answer. It's not worth the paper it's written on unless you have a court order. It's not enforceable. If you and the mom come to some type of agreement outside of court regarding custody, if mom reneges on it,
it's
you
not
still
enforceable.
Have to then go to court. Yeah. It's best to start with the court when you're dealing with custody. Try to get along. That's my message to parents. My husband died when my daughter was a baby, killed in Vietnam. I tell moms all the time, don't you dare do anything to put up a barrier to this child seeing the father. If this father's not harming the child, give that child the access. I would give anything. I've cried in court when I tell them I would give anything for my child to have been able to have her father in her life. So, you know, if you don't get along, that's one thing. But as long as this man is not hurting this child, I don't care if you don't like his girlfriend or his wife, let the child have that relationship with the father and then keep your negative comments to yourself. Call me at 454-1811.
Okay, we'll take, Yeah, I'm going to let that be the last word. Listen, Earlene, thank you so much for this. And it's don't make babies that you can't afford. And when the babies are here, pay, you know, and take responsibility for it and get a court order and get along. Is that about right?
That's about right.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll be back in the next hour. Stay with us.
Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. But
You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound. That's the below knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone...
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. He's off the hook. White House advisor Karl Rove has learned the feds don't plan to charge him in connection with the leak of a CIA operative's identity. Rove had been mentioned as a possible source of the leak, but he learned last night he won't be indicted.
The phone call from the federal prosecutor came last night. I've got some good news for you, he said. Karl Rove will not face any charges in the case, in which he always vowed he did not knowingly reveal the name of CIA officer Valerie Plame.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. The wait is over. Tropical storm Alberto's moved ashore along Florida's Gulf Coast with a lot of rain. Ed Rappaport, director of the National Hurricane Center.
How long that rainfall is actually going to be beneficial, and we'll likely have 3 to 5 inches of rain spread along the Carolinas, the coastal Carolinas, and maybe even southeastern Virginia before it's all over.
ABC Stephanie Sy is waiting it out in Clearwater, Florida.
Tropical storm Alberto is not expected to intensify significantly further. In fact, it's actually weakened a little bit and will do more weakening as it makes landfall, but it still brings with it the threat of dangerous tornadoes.
Alberto is the first named storm of the 2006 hurricane season. President Bush takes questions from reporters this afternoon in a nationally broadcast news conference. He is getting a little advice from fellow Republican Newt Gingrich. Level with Americans about what's going on in Iraq.
He doesn't have to say to the American people, everything's rosy. He has to say to the American people, this is necessary, and we're going to continue working at it until we win.
Within the hour, the president will meet with Iraq's new leaders. He'll be doing that via a teleconference hookup from the presidential retreat Camp David. A 21-year-old soldier from Oregon who refused to deploy with her army unit to Iraq is now under arrest. The soldier's mother says her daughter had no other choice but to make the decision that she did, regardless of the consequences. She says her daughter was belittled and she was propositioned during her first tour in Iraq. This is ABC News.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way. The answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide.
Hey, Mom, stuck at work now. Call up Carside. Nice save. Hey, Mom, be an all-star. Pick up just what they crave. Applebee's, Carside to go. Good food, fast, don't you know? Salads, sticks, seafood. Have an Applebee's buffet. Applebee's, Carside to go. Take them home.
Sometimes truth can be stranger than fiction. Much stranger.
It's the sort of horrible thing you always wonder about as you see the police drive up and down the beaches here in California. Just north of L.A. in Oxnard, two officers patrolling the beach in their SUV ran over and killed a sunbather. They had come over a sandhill after checking on a bather they thought was in distress when the SUV's tires came down on the woman's head, not far from the Embassy Suites Mandalay Beach Resort. The police didn't even know they had run over someone and kept going. The officers have been placed on paid leave. Gil Gross, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Authorities in South Dakota didn't have to look far at all to make this drug bust. They found marijuana growing on the lawn of the federal courthouse in Sioux Falls. Who tipped them off? Reporters did. But city officials say they have an explanation. Really, they do. They say the seeds must have been in the dirt already when it was brought in during some recent courthouse construction. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, Praxair won't be returning to the scene of last summer's explosive fire on Choteau Avenue. The company will instead expand its Cahokia, Illinois facility and eventually employ 60 people there. Praxair spokesperson Melissa Lackey says some safety changes were made at the Choteau site after last summer's fire.
As a result of the review from last year, Praxair went through and started installing various fire barriers in its propane and propylene cylinder storage areas, and I suspect that that will certainly be the case in Cahokia.
Lackey says a quarter of a mile separates the Cahokia facility and the nearest residence. Praxair expects to be fully operational in Cahokia in 12 to 18 months. The company is investing more than $3 million in the expansion and is also getting $950,000 in incentives from the state of Illinois. A Belleville woman has been hospitalized after an explosive fire at her home. Authorities say the woman's oxygen tanks fueled the fire yesterday afternoon in the 700 block of West Harrison Street. It's believed that the fire started on the stove. The woman is reported to be in serious condition. Madison County State's Attorney William Mudge is removing himself from the possible prosecution of prominent Metro East attorney Tom Lakin. A civil suit alleges that Lakin, formerly a trial lawyer with the Lakin Law Firm in Wood River, engaged in sexual conduct with children. Mudge says he won't work the case if state charges are filed because he was a partner in a law firm that represented Lakin. Federal prosecutors are presenting evidence against Lakin to a grand jury, but no state prosecution is underway yet. Any state charges would be handled by the Illinois Appellate Prosecutor's Office. Finally this hour, area swimming pools are open for the summer, and you're reminded to leave the alcohol at home when you go for a swim. Joyce Baskey with the St. Louis chapter of the American Red Cross says swimming and alcohol don't mix. Baskey also says parents need to watch their children closely at the pool and be ready to respond to an emergency, even if they don't know how to swim themselves. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Midas. What's the most important safety feature of your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas touch. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Gateway Clean Air Program. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Marshall, it's slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge to 270, slight delays going on there. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 at Namioke Road all the way to Canal Bridge, look for very heavy volume going on there as well. Westbound 370 at 270 and Earth City Expressway, right lane is closed. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge is reduced to three lanes and traffic slow near 64. Eastbound at the Poplar Street Bridge, look for two lanes to be closed now. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at 5570 all the way into Cleves Landing, look for congestion. Westbound 64 at Bow Avenue all the way into 5570, look for slow traffic there. And northbound Route 3 from Monsanto onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound Eads Bridge traffic has light traffic from Illinois side all the way into downtown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Gateway Clean Air Program. The Gateway Clean Air Program, educating motorists on the benefits of the following the manufacturer's suggested maintenance schedules, gatewaycleanair.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy, high around 80 today, mostly clear this evening, a low in the lower 60s. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-80s, and Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 63 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 63. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the wake-up call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? Our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
citizenship. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget, you can always fax me at 454-6609. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. If you have been paying attention to the news, as I know all of you have been, you watch the news, you read the news, you listen to the news, you comment on the news, you make the news. You would know that at this point in our history, we are 25 years. It's amazing. 25 years, and the band plays on. We are 25 years into AIDS. Hard to believe, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about where we are and what we are doing and what we should know. And we're going to do that through our friends at St. Louis Connect Care. As many of you know, St. Louis Connect Care, as part of St. Louis Connect Care, is the Ryan White Title III program. And we are very fortunate in St. Louis to have this program. And we are doubly fortunate that the program is located and connected with St. Louis Connect Care. And we have a case manager from the Ryan White Title III program, Lloyd Edwards, joining us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you here. It's hard to believe, 25 years?
25 years. That's a long time.
It really is a long time, and we're still talking about it in terms of a pandemic.
Yes, very much.
Do we have any other 25-year-old pandemics?
It doesn't seem that way, does it?
No, it doesn't. So talk to us about what are some things that when we look at this 25 years, HIV, AIDS, 25 years later, what are some surprising things that people may be surprised to find out about AIDS, aside from the fact that it's still a pandemic?
One of the things that's most exciting, or not exciting, but one of the things that's most true about HIV is that we are still being infected.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly African Americans are being affected by great proportions at this time.
Mm-hmm. So, and I'm looking at a magazine that deals with the research and the treatment and the life and the culture of, and it's called HIV Plus. Is that right?
Yes.
And it talks about the infection rate amongst people of African descent. It's extraordinary.
It's very extraordinary, mostly because when we first heard of the epidemic, we did not really give any credence to it as being a part of African-American culture.
Mm-hmm.
And as the years has progressed, we no longer hear the public service announcements, and it's no longer in full view of the public. But now we're finding that African-Americans, particularly young African-Americans, are becoming more infected.
Mm-hmm. Because the resources are not there, because the information is not there, because people don't believe it can happen to them, all of that and more?
All of that and more, particularly not believing that it can happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Most persons between the ages of 18 and 25 believe that they're invincible,
mm-hmm.
and there's medications that are available, and they don't think it's as important as it is to protect themselves against HIV.
But surely white kids feel that 18 to 25 years feel the same invincibility. What's different? What's different in the white community, or other communities that's not happening in the black community?
Well, in the African American community, we are infected and don't know that we're infected.
Uh-huh.
Most times we don't take the opportunity to go and get tested, and that's what's most important,
mm-hmm.
is that we become tested and we know our status.
Mm-hmm. So when we talk about the idea that 18-year-olds to 25-year-olds, I read an interesting story and read something and saw some information about there's a new group of people that are becoming infected that people don't think about or think that it could happen to our grandmas and granddads.
Absolutely. Many times our older people feel that they're not going to be infected by HIV because
it's
a young person thing,
mm-hmm.
and they've been doing what they've been doing all their lives, and they find themselves back in the market looking for some companionship.
Mm-hmm. And Viagra has increased the number of men coming back into the market.
Absolutely. And because of that, some of the older men find younger women attractive, and because they weren't accustomed to using any type of protection, they're not using it.
In their generation, they're not using any.
Right.
So we're seeing seniors.
Absolutely.
Test positive for AIDS.
Seniors are the second highest group of people being infected.
Wow. Talk to us about the Ryan White Title III program at Connect Care. What is that?
Oh, the Ryan White Title III program at Connect Care is a program funded by the federal government. We provide all types of services. We provide medical service. We provide laboratory services. We also provide complementary care. I was going to say alternate care, but it's complementary care at St. Louis Connect Care. And that would include acupuncture, massage therapy, physical therapy, those types of things.
Mm-hmm. So if a person needs to find out their status, Can they come to ConnectCare and do that?
Yes. Actually, we now have the Metro AIDS, which is a part of the City Health Department,
mm-hmm.
which is right next door to us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to come there and get testing for HIV. Not only can they get confidential testing, they can also get anonymous testing at that site.
And what's the difference between confidential and anonymous?
Confidential testing would mean that your name would appear with the test, and your anonymous testing, you'll be given a number, and you can only get that test result by having that number.
Okay. So are we seeing – I'm looking at these numbers, and they're frightening, and they're scary. Are there any rays of hope out there? Are we penetrating somewhere in the consciousness of folks and to change their behavior and to live a different way and live a different sexual life?
There is some hope.
Mm-hmm.
The more we begin to have programs like this and able to get into the churches and to other places in the community where we can talk about HIV and safer sex and STDs, then we are going to make a difference.
Uh-huh. Well, one of the things, as I was thinking as we were talking, that I imagine there's a certain amount of invincibility built into people's attitudes about AIDS because of Magic Johnson. Some people think, you know, look at Mike and Magic Johnson and say, well, he didn't die, so I guess, you know, AIDS isn't as bad as we think it is.
Well, HIV is very, very tricky. You can live 10 years without having any type of infections or any type of awareness that you're HIV positive. HIV also has the capability of mutating into different types of viruses. So it's very important that every sexually active person know what their test result, know their HIV status.
AIDS, HIV.
HIV stands for the Human Immunodeficiency Virus. It is the virus that causes AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And AIDS is a diagnosis, and only a doctor can give you that diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
That would be with two opportunistic infections and also a TCO count lower than 200.
Mm-hmm. And so when we see Magic Johnson living, looking healthy, looking good, looking well, even picking up some weight, do we look at him as proof that even if I get it, I can still live healthy? I mean, is that the message that we're supposed to take from Magic? Is that the message that he gives?
Yes, that is the message that he gives, that you can live. And fortunately, at St. Louis ConnectCare, our doctors provide the very same care
mm-hmm.
that Magic Johnson is getting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason for anyone to perish from HIV. HIV has become a manageable disease.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know it, and then you have to know what you have, and then you have to go and do something about it.
So when we talk about AIDS being a pandemic, is it a pandemic because we're dying from it? Is it a pandemic because we are being infected with it in incredible numbers? Why is it still a pandemic?
It's a pandemic because of the infections all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
In third world countries, they don't have the access to medical care as we have in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we have various people being infected. In Africa, we have villages that are being wiped out because of HIV infection.
Mm-hmm.
So it has become very, very serious, but it is something that we can control.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of opportunities at the Ryan White Title III program, I talked about it when I introduced you, was that Ryan White, we're lucky and fortunate to have Ryan White here in the city of St. Louis. Talk to us about why, because every place doesn't have a Ryan White Title III program.
We're fortunate because St. Louis ConnectCare was a visionary earlier on in during the infection, and applied and received grants from the federal government to supply health care for persons living with HIV and AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, people who come to St. Louis ConnectCare are mostly people who are indigent and cannot afford good health care.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we're glad to be there to be able to assist those persons who need adequate health care for HIV.
But you provide it to everybody.
Absolutely. We do have a guideline
mm-hmm.
For Ryan White Title III, and that is you have to be at least 300% of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone below that is encouraged to come
mm-hmm.
and participate in our program.
And talk to us about the doctors that we have
as part of
Ryan White Title III.
You know, they're very special to me. We have two specialists. We have Dr. Leon Robinson, who has been involved with HIV for 25 years,
mm-hmm.
and we have Dr. Matthew German, and both are just exceptional doctors, very exceptional doctors.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so Why? Why do you consider them exceptional?
Well, each have their own. Mm-hmm. They bring something different to the table. Mm-hmm. Dr. German is like a Doogie Howser. That's what I call him all the time. And he is very passionate about HIV. And Dr. Robinson is a little methodical about mm-hmm. HIV. So mm-hmm. we have a great combination there.
And so, and sometimes people think, well, you know, if I am going to a program because I am financially under the circumstances that I'm in, I'm going to get a different quality of health care. Is that true at St. Louis Connect Care?
That is absolutely not true at St. Louis Connect Care. Our doctors are very concerned about the individual as well as the disease. There are some doctors who become tunnel vision. They only mm-hmm. see one thing. But our doctors treat the whole person there, and it's just exceptional to see the amount of caring that they produce.
And in terms of the location of where St. Louis Connect Care is, how easy is it to get to?
We're centrally located. Mm-hmm. Actually, we're very close to the Central West End. We're at 5535 Delmar, right off of Union. Mm-hmm. And you can get to us.
So how does a person do this? Do they have to call and make an appointment? Can they walk in the door? Because sometimes when we're doing things like coming in and getting tested like that, it may be something that you just decide on the spur of the moment, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to get this done. Do you have to call in? Do you have to make an appointment? How does that work?
Well, if you come in, I'm not sure how Metro does that, but mm-hmm. if you come in, we're also testers.
Okay.
And we can also do the test. So mm-hmm. we invite you, you know, it is walk-in. You mm-hmm. can come in any day, mm-hmm. Monday through Friday between the hours of 9:30 and 4, and we'll be happy to test you.
Mm-hmm. So you can just walk in the door.
You can just walk in.
To mothers and fathers out there that have, let's say, just a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old, and they're just starting to walk towards that age of, you know, at least being curious about how things are done, sex and all of that, what advice, what instruction would you give parents, given how pervasive and how much concern they should have about what AIDS is out here? What advice would you give?
I think the first thing I would do is to remind the parents to know your children. Mm-hmm. The second thing would be also...
What do you mean by that? When you say know your children, what does that mean?
Many times parents know the limits of their children and what they're interested in. They mm-hmm. may not want to get involved with it, but they know. And they may want to even think back to when they were their age. Mm-hmm. And then they need to know their environment. Mm-hmm. They have to know what their children are involved with and who they're around, and then address the situation accordingly. Mm-hmm. When something comes on the news, it might be good for them to bring their children around and then discuss it after mm-hmm. it's over with. Mm-hmm. Certainly with 25 years in the epidemic, and HIV has grown up in a whole generation, and yet our young generation is still becoming infected, and it's important that we talk about it.
And to grow up in the midst of it, I mean, 25 years, that's just astonishing to me. To grow up in the midst of it is still so remarkable that young people don't know what they should know about this.
And that's because a lot of times adults feel like young people already know, or they just get it by some way, which is it's just sucking into their body, but it doesn't. We have to educate them.
And I was talking to a girlfriend of mine, and this is a story from when her son was probably in the fourth or fifth grade, and he was watching, I think it was Friends. And he was watching with his grandmother and his mother, and he was saying, sex, sex, sex. All they do is talk about sex, sex, sex. And his mama said, well, what do you know about sex? I don't know what it is. It's like our kids have so much access to these programs, but they don't know any more than I knew when I was 10 years
Absolutely.
Old. They have plenty of access to it. They say the word. I don't think I said the word at 10, but
right.
He didn't know any more about sex than I did
right.
when I was a 10, and I didn't know the word.
Right, and you better not have said anything about it because you would have got a beating.
But I mean, it's we take it when you that's to comment on we take it for granted that because our kids appear to be and are exposed to so much more that we think that they know so much. They don't.
They absolutely don't. And a lot of times, young people have never been exposed to someone who is HIV positive.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's probably one of the problems that we have in our community, that we mm-hmm. don't have African Americans in our community who will stand up and say, I'm HIV positive, this is what this is about.
Mm-hmm. And we need to have conversation. It's out there. It's been
Absolutely.
There for 20. It's before everybody in high school was born. You know,
Absolutely.
Before
Absolutely.
Everybody who's in high school was born, this was here, and we're not having that conversation.
We had it early, but we're not having it anymore.
And Lloyd, tell us where they can call at St. Louis Connect Care to get some information from the Ryan White Title III program.
You can dial area code 314-879-6435.
And the address of?
The address, again, is 5535 Delmar. We're in suite 204 in the medical building.
Very good. Mr. Edwards, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we're going to take a break. This is Liz Brown. We'll be back for your questions, calls, and comments. Stay with us.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
The Missouri Department of Conservation brings its Show Me Missouri Fish Mobile Aquarium to town from June 15th through the 18th at St. Louis Union Station. View up to 25 species of Missouri's native fish species close to home. For more info, call 636-441-4554 or visit www.mdc.mo.gov. Something fishy for you from WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Orkin. Northbound 270 at 44 is disabled. Vehicle left lane is blocked. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170 look for that traffic finally easing up this hour. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge, 270 slight delays in the exit lanes at 270. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, expect normal traffic. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203 all the way in the Canal Bridge looks good. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 40 from Clarkson all the way to Boone's Crossing, look for slow-moving maintenance vehicles. Left lanes closed. Westbound 5570 at the PSB, look for the roadway reduced to three lanes, and traffic is backed up between 3rd and 4th Street. Eastbound 40 from the PSB, look for paving operations. Two right lanes are closed this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the Illinois Bank all the way into Laclede's Landing looks good. And Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Those approaches are slow at this hour. Northbound 55 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic in the right lane, so you may want to approach the bridge complex a little bit easy on the gas this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Carpenter ants love the rain. It really tenderizes your wood. Don't worry. The Orkin man's been fighting invasions for over 100 years. So protect your home. Protect your family. Call 1-800-THE-ORCAN-MAN. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy skies today with a high around 80. This evening, mostly clear, low in the lower 60s. Wednesday, partly sunny, high in the mid-80s. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies. Our temperature right now is 63 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clear skies and 64 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Alan Brainerd inviting you to join me every Wednesday for Design 411. Whether you live in a mansion or a studio apartment, my guests and I will share new and exciting ways to make your home truly attractive. Please join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411. Wednesdays at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where you'll get the 411 on the things that matter most to you.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you Christmas cheer. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you Irish ring and a pomegranate.
It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up, you need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning morning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Andre.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. I can hardly hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Much better.
Okay. First of all, thanks for the last segment that you provided, because it really is needed information. It would be good, I think, too, if you could possibly start at least on a monthly basis doing that sort of thing and talking about different aspects of treatment, care, different development. Because you know what? There is a lot of information out there, but people really are not getting it for various reasons. One of the big culprits in this whole pandemic, or at least when it was still just an epidemic in this country, unfortunately, was the Black Church, because of all the conspiracy of silence that went on there, and still, to a large extent, in many churches, does exist. Also, I knew what you were talking about with the increase in the elderly population. But also, on the opposite end of the scale, there is a big boom going on in infections with teenagers. And still one of the largest groups of newly infected persons is Black women. And people are just not getting that information. It is hard to imagine that it's been 25 years, but you know, I was sitting in college, at the time that this was all starting. I'm a proud graduate of the San Francisco College of Mortuary Science, and at that time, I remember seeing, microbiology class. It was so new that they didn't even have anything to teach us. They were teaching, our professors only knew what they were reading in the paper. And San Francisco General Hospital, where I later ended up working, had the first AIDS ward. And I was there at the beginning of all that, so I remember it pretty much from its beginning. Also, the other thing I wanted to mention, too, is that, you know, you all were talking about how it is that people, even in the midst of information, are still getting infected. part, and your guest mentioned too how it is that the people are not coming out and announcing themselves and talking about it openly. Well, there is still, unfortunately, such a stigma attached not only to the disease itself, but how it is you got the disease. For a lot of black folks, there is still such a strong stigma. There's still such a heavy undercurrent in society of homophobia and misogyny and all of this connected, and just outright shame that a lot of us feel connected with sex generally. So it's not really surprising to me that it's happening. It is sad, but it's not surprising. Mm. But we need to force these conversations. And I know that the minute you announce what your topic was going to be in that last segment, a whole bunch of folks clicked off their radios or changed stations.
Well, no, we never say that. So I appreciate that it's a very difficult issue for people to listen to, and I assume that people never click off the radio when my show is on. Thank you, Andre.
Okay.
All right, 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And this is something that I want to kind of segue us into the school board meeting tonight at 7 o'clock at Carr Lane. It is so critical for you all to be there. The only way that you keep folks in line is if you are there to do it. You need to be at the school board meeting tonight. It's critical. Oh, teachers losing their jobs, votes of no confidence. Did you hear this? We're going to be talking about this a little bit tomorrow. $4 million, a $4 million bill that the $25,000 a month Superintendent Craig Williams didn't know that the school district owed. So the budget is $4 million short. We forgot to include a $4 million debt in our budget. You know what? People lose their jobs just for that. And people should lose their jobs. You didn't know that your district was you did a budget. You pushed through a budget. You said, and you were so anxious to give this $5 million to Kwame. You sure wanted to push that. You said, we have to make a decision on that quickly. Give them a $5 million contract. And you didn't know that we had a $4 million outstanding bill out there. People lose their jobs over that, and they should. You're at the top of the food chain. You're making $25,000 a month. And you didn't know that the district was $4 million short. Somebody didn't say, well, where's the debt to the pension fund? It's not like I understand folks forgetting that they had a $25 Netflix bill to pay. Huh, Howard? I understand folks forgetting that they have a $25 Netflix bill. Netflix is a smaller bill. You don't forget your $1,500 mortgage bill. That's not a bill that you say, oops, when I'm doing my budget, I forgot to include my mortgage payment in there. How does Craig Williams put together a budget and not have in it the money that is $1 million reoccurring debt from the pension fund? How is it that you didn't know that that debt wasn't in your budget? You don't unless you're incompetent. He makes $25,000 a month, and he underestimated our budget by $4 million. The budget has to be redone. He should lose his job. Not to mention the chaos that he's created in the school program. Not to mention the fact, check this out, there's a woman, a friend of his, a former boss of his, that he paid tens of thousands of dollars as for a summer gig. And she's so confident and so good at her job, she could do her $65,000 job from her computer out of town. I bet you could. How hard is it to go turn on your computer and surf the net? These are the sensitize the fiscal decisions that he's making. He wanted to give $5 million to Kwame and do it fast. And forgot about a $4 million bill. A $4 million debt. You don't forget your mortgage payment. Unless you're a complete idiot. You don't forget your mortgage payment. It's a $4 million debt. It's a debt that's reoccurring. You put together the budget. That's your job. My name is Liz Brown. We have so much stuff to talk about. School board meeting tonight at 7 o'clock. You better be there. You better be there.
That's how you make me feel. If I'm with you, I am far away. And nothing is for real. When I'm with you, I'm lost for words. I don't know what to say. My head's spinning like a carousel. So silently I pray.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. There's word out of Iraq of another killing of civilians by American forces that apparently was covered up. Two women were being taken to a hospital in Samarra because one of the women was about to give birth. The two women were both shot and killed by U.S. snipers. An investigator for a human rights organization says the women were both shot in the back of the head. The official U.S. military position is that the car the women were in was fired upon after it entered an area that was clearly marked and failed to stop after several visual and spoken warnings. The brother of the pregnant woman, who was the driver of the car, said he received no such warnings. Two other witnesses who lived nearby also said they heard or saw no warnings. The day after the shootings, the brother was told to come to the local police station, where he was offered $5,000 compensation for the deaths. He told investigators he refused the money. He also said his sister was sitting in the back seat of the car, and her brains were splattered all over his back when she was shot. And Dateline Detroit. The head of the United Auto Workers, that is, has told his members that the auto industry is in really bad shape. Ron Gettelfinger says the industry climate is worse now than when Chrysler faced bankruptcy back in the 80s, and that the challenges being faced by his membership are the kind that will not go away after a short cycle. He says they are changes in the way the industry now runs, and they require new and farsighted answers. His comments came in a report just ahead of the United Auto Workers Convention being held in Las Vegas this week to elect new leaders and act on new policies. Gettelfinger also noted that the big three American automakers now control less than 60% of the American market, that the parts industry has lost over 160,000 jobs, and that healthcare costs have placed an unfair burden on older established companies, but have also had a negative impact on many retirees because their benefits have had to be decreased. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Philip Person Roofing has been in business for over 16 years. He's a licensed and certified roofing contractor specializing in roof replacements and repairs. And now you can get a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. And you can finance any new roof, commercial or residential, with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127. That's 361-7127.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green. Check out Awaken to Yourself, Tuesday mornings from 11 to 12, where we talk to artists and professionals about ways to improve, enhance, and enrich the quality of your life.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. What's this? What is this? George Bush made a surprise visit to Iraq on Tuesday. That would be today. Good to see you, exclaimed the prime minister, who didn't know Bush was in Baghdad until 5 minutes before they met at a palace once used by Saddam Hussein that now serves as temporarily as a U.S. embassy. Thanks for having me. Bush is traveling to Baghdad less than a week after the death of al-Zarqawi. The administration hoped the elimination of Zarqawi and the completion of the cabinet would make war-weary Americans look at Iraq in a more positive light. Aside from the cabinet, Bush also was to see the Talibani, Iraq's largely ceremonial president. He flew secretly from his talks at Camp David. The folks gathered there on Monday to talk about how to bolster Iraq's government. And then on to Iraq. Air Force One landed at Baghdad Airport, where the temperature was over 100 degrees. Bush then transferred to a helicopter for a 6-minute ride into the green zone. White House officials said that the helicopter ride posed the greatest risk for the president. No, the truth is the greatest risk for this guy. While Bush was there, dozens of people were killed or wounded on Tuesday in Kirkuk. 8 bodies were found in western Baghdad. Al-Makali pledged no mercy in a crackdown on insurgents. That's the president. He said, no mercy. Bring it on. That sound familiar? That sound like bring it on? A day after the meeting at Camp David, Bush had dinner with his aides and cabinet members, then returned to his cabin. After darkness, he boarded his helicopter, slipped away, flying to Andrews Air Force Base outside of Washington and the 11-hour flight to Baghdad. The trip was known to only to a handful of aides and a small number of reporters sworn to secrecy. How many of them work for Fox? All of them. All of them. Isn't that something? Bush is in Baghdad. I'm telling you. When you see on the front page of the Investor's Business Daily that Bush's approval ratings went up after the killing of al-Zarqawi, oh, everybody duck, because killing makes his ratings go up. Interesting. Some people make jokes about, who do I have to kill to get a promotion? Well, I guess in this administration... They have names on the list. They put names on the list. Who do I have to kill to get my approval ratings up? Well, here's the list. That's a scary place for a nation to be in. And the guy in the White House, his approval ratings only go up based upon body counts. Not because he, not even because of tax cuts. Not because of his position on same-sex marriage. I'm not talking about red meat for the rabbit right. Tax cuts, same-sex marriages, abortion. His numbers don't go up on those issues. Nope. This cowboy's numbers only go up when there's bloodshed and folks die. What does that say? Good Lord, what does that say? One 877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. In the next hour, we're going to be talking to an author. He's written a book on George Bush, One Nation Under George. You don't want to miss that. That's in the next hour, huh? George Bush is in Baghdad. Karl Rove is no longer going to be indicted, so his attorney says. I guess it's clear sailing. Party hardy. George Bush is feeling positive from the fact that they didn't lose their seat in California. The Dukester seat killed somebody this week. Let me get on over to Iraq and get my numbers up. It's a good week. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Louise.
Yes. Ms. Brown, I've talked to you many a times about this drug activity next door, 5114 Gazelle. And Sunday, I was treated like I was a criminal from the police. I got a summons to go to court. The young man that's doing all of this dirt, he's still over there, my driveway now. They have like 8 cars out here now. This goes on all day and all night.
Do you film it?
Pardon?
Have you filmed it?
No, I haven't.
I would take a camera out there and film it.
Right. That's what I told my husband. That's what I should do. Sunday, it was a mess.
Well, film it.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And in the category of I told you so, y'all need to listen to me. Y'all need to know that I know what I'm talking about when we talk about our schools. School districts like Chicago, with high percentages of low income and children of color, are more likely to have teachers who are unqualified, inexperienced, and less talented academically. We take the children who have less and then turn them around and give them teachers who have less to offer. The study analyzed teachers in Illinois, Ohio, and Wisconsin, and this study came less than a month before the states have to deliver plans to the Department of Education proving that qualified, experienced teachers are distributed fairly under No Child Left Behind. Lucille.
Hey, Liz, I had called up the Gateway and seen, can I come up there and visit my son's school for the summer? And they're telling me that parents can't visit.
You better get yourself up there and call the news if they tell you you can't come in there and see your child.
Okay.
You get yourself up
all
in
right,
there and
okay.
you call Channel 2.
Okay.
If they say you can't come into the school and
see
your child.
Well, they don't have the people to walk you through and visit through throughout the school and stuff like they had a normal staff during a regular school year. But still,
okay, you go up there and you tell them you're going to call the news if they don't let you in to see your child and the conditions that your child are in this summer school.
Okay.
All right, and let me know. You come to the school board meeting tonight, right?
Right.
All right, see you there.
Okay.
Listen, folks, we're going to go to the top of the hour. Stay with me. I'll be back.
AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. No, it wasn't by teleconference. It was in person. ABC's Ann Compton has more on the president's surprise trip to Iraq today.
Having told the world that he would be at Camp David, President Bush slipped into Air Force One about 9 p.m. last night, a baseball cap pulled low over his eyes. He flew to Baghdad overnight, accompanied by reporters sworn to secrecy. And Prime Minister Maliki, who was preparing for a video conference call with the president, was given only 5 minutes' notice that he had an important visitor arriving. And come to ABC News, the White House.
Karl Rove can breathe a big sigh of relief. The presidential adviser won't be indicted in connection with the leak of a CIA operative's identity. The special prosecutor gave Rove's attorney the news last night, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich.
It's a wonderful news for Karl and his family because this has been a very, very heavy burden at a personal level for them to have to carry.
Rove had been suspected of outing CIA operative Valerie Plame, whose husband, former Ambassador Joe Wilson, was highly critical of the president's decision to go in Iraq. Tropical storm Alberto is about an hour from the Florida Gulf Coast with winds 65 miles an hour, a lot of rain. The National Hurricane Center's Jamie Rome.
With this one being so close to a hurricane, it is possible that it could become a very low end Cat 1 prior to landfall.
ABC's Mike Von Fremd is in Cedar Key, Florida.
Alberto will soon be moving inland across Florida and by this evening headed towards Savannah, Georgia. The Weather Service has also extended tropical storm warnings all the way to Charleston, South Carolina, where Alberto should be by tomorrow morning.
Alberto is the first major system of the 2006 hurricane season. It's election day in five states. Voters going to the polls in Virginia, Maine, South Carolina, Arkansas, and in North Dakota. Checking ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is up 31 points and the NASDAQ is ahead by 8 points after about a half an hour's trading. This is ABC News.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide.
Hey, Mom, stuck at work now. Call up Car's Guide. Nice save. Hey, Mom, be an all-star. Pick up just what they crave. Applebee's, Car's Guide to go. Good food, fast, don't you know? Salads, sticks, seafood. Have an Applebee's buffet. Applebee's, Car's Guide to go. Take them home to your bungalow.
Should physicians be involved in detainee interrogation? It's a controversial subject, and now the American Medical Association has taken a stand on it. ABC's Joan Bennett has the story.
The AMA reminds doctors of their oath to do no harm. Delegates to the group's annual meeting adopted a policy saying military psychiatrists and other doctors should not be directly involved in the interrogation of prisoners at places such as Guantanamo Bay because it's unethical and violates their oath. The policy was the result of concerns about treatment of detainees. It says doctors may assist in developing non-coercive techniques for getting information from prisoners, but if they observe excessive force, threats, or intimidation, they are obligated to report it to authorities. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
We hear from Ben Roethlisberger's doctors today. The Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback was seriously injured yesterday in a motorcycle accident. He wasn't wearing a helmet at the time. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a man faces charges in an alleged drunk driving crash that killed a Calhoun County, Illinois, sheriff's deputy. Police say 29-year-old Timothy Roth collided head-on with Deputy Brian Gibbons on Friday evening. Gibbons died of his injuries on Sunday. Roth is charged with drunken driving and could face more charges. St. Louis public school teachers plan to be out in force at tonight's school board meeting. Members of the teachers' union are planning an informational picket before the meeting at Carr Lane Middle School. Union members took a vote of no confidence in the district's administration earlier this month over several issues, including payroll problems and the reconstitution of several schools. St. Louisans will have a chance to see the possible plans for Metrolink extension in the city at three meetings this week. The first public meeting is this evening from 5 to 7:30 at the Herbert Hoover Boys and Girls Club. Other meetings are set for 3 to 6 p.m. tomorrow at the downtown St. Louis Partnership Building and 5 to 7:30 on Thursday evening at the Missouri Botanical Gardens Monsanto Center. The public can see potential routes for Metrolink in the city at the meetings. Finally this hour, PGA champion Sean McKeel is on a mission to raise awareness about a health concern for men. McKeel was diagnosed with a serious health condition known as low testosterone, also called low T, after his victory at the 2003 PGA Championship.
I was starting not to play very well. The worse that I played, the more I started tinkering around with my golf swing. And finally, after about four, five, six months of this, it was at my wife's urging that I go see my doctor.
An estimated 13 million American men aged 45 and older are affected with low T. Symptoms include low sex drive, erectile dysfunction, lack of energy, and depression. It's most often treated with medication. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Fazoli's new bottomless bowls. Northbound 270 at 44, all roadways are reopened after a stalled car has been cleared from traffic lanes. Westbound 40 at Boone's Crossing, there's a spilled load. The left lane is blocked. Southbound 170 at Hanley, there's a reported disabled vehicle. Eastbound 40 at 141 in Mason, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 at the PSP is reduced to three lanes as they're paving and traffic slows to near 13th Street. Eastbound 40 at the PSP, look for paving operations having two right lanes closed. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, you're slow onto the ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Northbound 55 at the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic in the right lane as you approach the bridge complex. And the Market Street overpass over Highway 40 is closed due to demolition work. You can use Jefferson Boulevard to the east or Grand Boulevard to the west as alternate routes. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Fazoli's new bottomless bowls. Introducing Fazoli's new bottomless bowls. All you can eat bowls of spaghetti with hearty meat or marinara sauce, or Fazoli's fettuccine with cheesy Alfredo sauce. And all for just $3.49. New bottomless bowls for a limited time only at Fazoli's. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly cloudy skies today, high around 80. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s. Moving on to Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy once again with a low in the upper 60s. And on Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 63 degrees under mostly clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 64. Stay tuned for more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Car Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget that WGNU is streamed every day at WGNU.net. That's WGNU.net. Also, you can reach me at revolution@LizBrown.com. That's revolution@LizBrown.com. That's LizzBrown.com. We have much to talk about. George W. Bush has snuck over to Iraq. The polls are showing that, once somebody got killed, his numbers started going up. I guess, duck. Because they sure want the poll numbers to go up, duck. Fascinating. It's amazing where we are at this place and time. The issues that confront us, the stories that challenge us, where we are. There are some people that have taken a look at this administration and where we are politically and have seen humor in it. We have an author joining us, Z.M. Wagner. He has written a book entitled One Nation Under George, and we're going to talk about that this morning. Z.M. Wagner, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Very good. One Nation Under George. What's the premise of this book?
It's basically a look back on history told from 2008. It's the presidency between 2004 and 2008, told from, I guess, a slightly sarcastic point of view.
You say that if you don't understand the concepts of sarcasm, irony, and satire, or if you simply belong to that class of person commonly known as the complete idiot, you will more than likely hate both this book and me. What do you mean by that?
Basically, I just mean that some people don't understand the concept of satire, where you take something, you take a subject to an extreme level to where people will actually look at it and say, you know, I can see the country or whatever it is that you're discussing going this way, and don't take what you're saying as literal, you know. For instance, I discuss homosexuals in the book, and I said that in the future America, they had the choice of being called homos or fags, you know, and they decided to go with homos because it was less offensive. Now, somebody reading that, not understanding satire, would decide that, hey, this guy's a homophobia fanatic or something like that, you know. I'm not realizing that I'm saying that American can alter all of the reality around itself to include everybody, to seeing a group of people in a labeled light like that.
One of the things that you say in your book, the topic is all about George Bush, and it's all about being in a blue state as opposed to a red state. Why this topic? What was it about the blue state, red state dynamic and George W. Bush that you wanted to go in this direction?
Well, I think part of it is, let me put it like this. I was looking actually at your website the other day, and I was noticing that it was talking about your bio and how that you will take on both Democrats and Republicans. And I admire somebody who can cross over lines. It seems to me that a lot of Americans have come to follow party lines one way or the other. You know, and I was trying to show that it's ridiculous to just follow somebody because they're your party. You know, it's ridiculous to divide up America into these two sections because there's so much in between. I don't need to be extreme to the right. I don't need to be extreme to the left, as the terms are now, in order to be an American. You know, I'm a citizen, and I have my own personal beliefs and values, and I don't think that I need to be guided by Big Brother or, you know, it's becoming more like Big Daddy now, you know, because he tells us what to do and we have to go ahead and do it.
Did you watch the inauguration in 2005, I guess it was? Did you see it? Did you watch it?
I did.
Because I'm trying to get a sense of the chapter 3 where you're talking about the view at the inauguration. What about the inauguration struck you enough to include that as part of the book?
Well, to be honest,
I'm not sure that before
the inauguration.
Okay. So, I mean, do you have your book with you?
I have it in my head.
Okay. Because there's one piece that you talk about how about the after George Bush began his speech and the applause began and he gave this. Let me read this piece that you attribute to him. I know that many of you out there voted for me, voted on the values that you hold and that you know I share. Some of you may not completely agree with the war we are waging against the enemies of peace and democracy, but you still voted because you knew that the thing that has made this the greatest nation on earth is the values that our forefathers and foremothers established in our great country. I humbly accept the duty that you have given me to perform, and together we will take America back and stop the maddening pollution of our country, and we will once more become one nation, indivisible under God. As he finished, a bluebird startled from its nest by the noise flew overhead, and a large white splotch appeared on the shoulder of the president's navy jacket. Everyone stared in silence for a minute. The bird whistled, I swear it was in French, spun through as it was coming back for a second run, and in an instant, one of the Secret Service men drew his gun and fired, cutting the bird's song short and sending it tumbling to the ground. For a second or two, there was silence. The president broke it by saying he put up a better fight than the blue candidate. Maybe he should get a Purple Heart, too.
I think there's plenty that you can read into that. Sure.
You said, sorry? What did you say?
I said, I'm sure that there's plenty of things that can be read into that that were probably meant to be read into that. Along with the comedy as well.
And according to your book, everyone burst out laughing and then began to cheer and applaud the president as he made his way down the platform. What were you trying to say with that? What comment were you trying to make on the nation with that passage?
Oh, that's a hard one. I mean, it has to do with basically, you know, the bird sings a song that I swore was in French because it was a bluebird, which of course would represent the blue states as well as John Kerry, the other candidate, and everything. Mm-hmm. And basically, that we all get together and we applaud as Papa George leads us into a world that's better and more moral, and so you know, all we have to do is laugh at these enemies because they're so easily brought down by somebody led by God as President George.
And laugh at them and kill them.
Yeah.
Does your mother know you've written this book?
Yeah. I don't know if she's read this book, but she knows that I wrote it.
What kind of response are you getting from those of you that are close to you in your life for this?
Well, actually, my dad really liked it. Mm-hmm. I probably got a lot of my sarcasm and everything towards politics from him. I'd have to say maybe he's a little bit on the... Some people might call him a little bit on the conspiracy theory side there.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually, though, if you look at a lot of stuff now, it's not that hard to believe some of the conspiracy theories.
Now, conspiracy looks like fact nowadays, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But I also know some people who are very staunch Republicans, and they don't appreciate it if they understand it. The ones that don't understand, and what I mean by that is the ones that don't understand it, agree with me wholeheartedly because they think that this is the future that I want for America.
And I one of the things that you include in the book and you talk a lot about in the book is the position of Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
You describe yourself as Jewish.
That's correct.
And you talk about that in this book you talk about you made the connection, you voted for George because of his, what's the word I'm looking for, his moral values?
Yeah, basically, you know, It was more because of his, I think in the book I said it was more because of his stance on Israel, allowing it to do what it needs to do to take care of its problems.
And you talk about how you felt a little guilty for that?
Well, I felt, yes, and I did feel guilty because I didn't really, you know, as the author of that book, I didn't really have any morals of my own, so I thought that it couldn't be too bad of a thing to vote for somebody who had some. And but at the same time, if you look at the progression through that book, people vote on something like that, like one issue, and if you look at it, I never addressed that issue again in the book.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that whole thing just disappears. You know, I mean, where did all of these issues that he brought up actually go to, that he promised? And, you know what I mean? All this, the things that were supposed to make this a better America.
You mean as opposed to sound bites for election plans?
Exactly.
You also, I think it's interesting how you deal with the issue of the ID cards and the privacy. When did you write this book?
I wrote it in November of 2004.
And this is before we knew that we were being spied upon. Do you feel like a prophet a little bit?
Actually, I handwrite my books. I for some reason, I can't write typing, so the person who typed it up, by the time she finished typing it up, was calling me a prophet, but I don't agree. I think it was, I don't know, I think that you could kind of see the direction the country was going. So, you know, maybe in that way I was like a psychic hotline, you know, I could just read
a politically psychic hotline.
There you go.
So what's the funniest part of the book to you? Well, what was the part that made you laugh out loud as you were doing it?
I would have to say probably writing speeches for George W. with all of the mistakes in there. You know, it's hard for me to think of the. I don't know if you you've read obviously some of the book. I didn't know if you read the entire thing or not.
I've read.
And the holiday speeches, I think, probably made me laugh because it seems like something that he could say. You know, with the not knowing what any of these things are about. You know, the gefilte fish or the Kwanzaa. You know, he throws in there basically. Stereotypical, I should say, southern white comment of Kwanzaa, the traditional Kwanzaa fried chicken, you know. I just think that that's the kind of stuff that could easily come out of his mouth.
And it's really, and when you're reading it, you have to, you know, almost Google search it to make certain that he didn't say this. Because it seems very natural that this would, and you know, and given the stuff that he has stumbled over and been inaccurate about previous to that, you just have to Google it to make sure that it's not something that he has actually said. In terms of what do you write after this? I mean, you projected this into 2008. It's a satirical look at a scary, scary, scary 2008, and a lot of it seems, part of the problem that I had with reading, or the challenge that I had with reading your book, is that I want to laugh, but it is, a lot of this stuff is true.
Right, and you know what, it was a lot funnier when I wrote it, because most of it hadn't happened yet, but yeah, it is scary, a lot of it, and but the, as far as what I work on after that, I would have to say that actually there's a sequel in the works, and it's actually tentatively titled With Hillary and Justice for All. So you can kind of see the direction it might go with that.
I'm seeing the direction on that. However, you make the comment, and knowing that this book was written before a lot of this stuff has gone down, is fascinating because you make the connection between Jeb and George.
Yeah.
And the prediction about the Jeb and George ticket and Jeb coming out of this. I just read a news story a couple of days ago about it's in the works, that they're putting the feelers out there for this to happen.
That doesn't surprise me in the least. You know, and I think that at the time that I wrote it, the reason why I could see that being the end result of this is basically just based on the election. I mean, if you have a brother who's going to do something like what Jeb did for George back in Florida, then how else do you reward him but to give him the opportunity to be president himself?
Mm.
You know, I mean, pretty much he helped seal the deal, so I mean, there's nothing else that you can do but say, hey, Jeb, maybe it's your turn now.
It's your turn. Where can people get a copy of One Nation Under George?
Right now they can get it on Amazon and Borders.com and BarnesandNobles.com, all those sites. I'm trying to get it into stores. Basically, it's been a little bit of a struggle. A lot of them don't want to mess with it. I don't know why.
I do.
But, you know, and your listeners can help make that happen, I guess. You mm-hmm. know, they go out and they buy it, and the publishers, the bigger publishing houses and the distributors see that this is something that people want to read about. They want to see something that confronts things, and it's not like everything else out there.
And you have a website.
I don't. Not yet.
You,
I need to have a website. I know I'm a little bit behind the times on that. But, yeah, just basically I say the best site to get it on would be Amazon.com.
And that is Z.M. Wagner. His book is One Nation Under George. Thank you so much for joining me on the Wake Up Call this morning.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. Listen, folks, we're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. Now, this is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. I'll be back. Walking around like I'm made out of diamonds. I tripped and fell and it reminded me. Move over and let my angels guide me.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com, and I'm just thrilled to be able to tell you that an average of 90 people who met on eHarmony.com get married every single day. 90 people every day.
When I first met him, I knew.
I knew she was someone I wanted to spend the rest of my life with.
At eHarmony.com, every match you receive has been carefully selected to be compatible with you based on 29 dimensions crucial for a thriving long-term relationship.
eHarmony matches you at a deeper level. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Dating sites match on a picture and a paragraph. At eHarmony, we match you at the deepest levels, and it simply works. To the tune of 90 people who fall in love and get married every single day. So if you're looking for the love of your life, log on to eHarmony.com. Get your compatibility profile, a $50 value, free. eHarmony.com.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Pat Cook at Holiday World and Splash and Safari in Santa Claus, Indiana. People tell me we have fun at Holiday World all the time. At Holiday World, your time is the most important thing you share with us. This year, we built a new Thanksgiving section in Holiday World and a new action river in Splash and Safari so you can spend less time waiting and more time riding and having fun. You'll have the time of your life on our new Voyage roller coaster. It features more weightless airtime than any other wooden coaster. It's one of the tallest, fastest, and at over 1.2 miles, one of the longest coasters in the world. Splash and Safari is the number 2 rated water park in the world, featuring 2 wave pools, 2 action rivers, enormous water slides, and special water play areas for the little ones. Holiday World and Splash and Safari is a great value for your family. We offer 2 parks for 1 price and free unlimited soft drinks. Learn more about us on our website at holidayworld.com. We're celebrating 60 years of family fun all the time.
For a free Indiana Play Pack coupon book, visit enjoyindiana.com.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Car Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head for you. Oh, you. I want you.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. A few weeks ago, we had a guest on, I believe it was Looking Black, who told the story of the 911 operators. There was two 911 operators in, I believe it was in somewhere, I believe in Detroit, but I know it was in Michigan. A five-year-old boy called 911 to say his mother had collapsed and needed medical attention. And the 911 operator didn't believe him and put him off the phone and threatened him. He called in again to another 911 operator. He called 3 hours later. That 911 operator didn't believe him either. The police, in fact, the police were sent to discipline, she sent the police to discipline the child. Okay, she took time to call the cops to sic them on this baby. And when the police got there, the boy's mother, the baby's mama, was dead. These operators, these 911 operators, are being arraigned. Sharon Nichols, 43 years old. Terry Sutton, 47 years old. They are being charged with willful neglect of duty. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? They're being charged with willful neglect of duty. If they are convicted, they could face a year in jail. It is more than likely they will get probation. More than likely. I don't know if they go to a jury trial, depending upon the effectiveness of the prosecution. They could get time in jail. But here is a couple of things. This is a baby, a five-year-old. Can you imagine? He called 911. He did what his mother and his father taught him to do. And now he's going to have to live with, for the rest of his life, the knowledge that they didn't come for his mom. And I don't care what you say, what you do, he's going to try to take that on himself and say that there was something he should have done. What a horrible, horrible tragedy. And what kind of unfeeling monster people do you have to be? Working at 911, mind you. You get called from desperate people. Sure, there are people that play on the phone. Absolutely. But feel what they did. They found the time to send the cops out to go discipline a five-year-old boy now. Discipline a five-year-old boy. They sent the cops out there. They took the time. To do that. But they didn't find the time to send somebody out to take care of his mama. And she's dead. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. It's a sad story. It's an absolutely sad story. And I believe she should, that they should be punished for that. And the whole, and if those two were acting like that, I know in every inch of my being that if they were acting like that, if those two operators were acting in such a callous and unconnected way to the cries of this five-year-old baby, they're not alone. They're not alone. 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. 1-877-920-WGNU is my number. And don't forget, here's an opportunity for you this Saturday. This Saturday, FIRE is having their fourth annual golf tournament. You need to come on out and be part of this, support this, have a fun day. And for more information about their fourth annual golf tournament, you can call Guy Jennings at 393-3231. That's 393-3231. Come on out. There's an entry fee per person. The $70 includes the green fee, the cart, the tournament prizes, food, and beverages. There are only just a few more spots left. It's a tournament. It's for their sponsorship. It's for the charity organization of FIRE. And it's the fund is used to assist disenfranchised individuals and organizations whose goals and philosophies are commensurate with their own. They've supported Hurricane Katrina Relief Fund. They've supported the Demetrius Johnson Fund. So you're invited to participate in the FIRE tournament sponsorship packages and join FIRE for their fourth annual tournament. 1-877-920-WGNU. Jeff.
Liz.
Yes.
I just wanted to make a comment on the situation. I believe it was in Detroit, the 911 operation.
Uh-huh.
I can tell, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, if you hit the nail on the head right at the end of your comments when you mentioned that it doesn't stop with those operators. This is a pretty much a culture now in how telephone operations work and what we call call centers, be it 911 operators, crisis hotlines. I worked in crisis hotline work, and even in people who do your credit cards and all of that. It really seems to be a culture of get them in and get them out. And unfortunately, when you're dealing with people's lives like that, it's really sad. I left the position because I was told I was spending too much time on the phone talking to people. And that's really the only way you can really find out what's going on, is to know what's going on with people, is to study, to listen to their voices, to hear what's going on, to see if it is a desperate cry, if it's a true, authentic cry for help.
And also there's the missing component that so many of us experience out here, this whole customer service concept as well.
That's, That's it. And the whole model is based on, it's all based on a business model.
Mm.
You can't have a business model when a person is suicidal.
There you go.
Unfortunately, I just felt so sad for the little boy and, you know, lose your mom and, for something like that. You mentioned something. I hope, the surviving parent and those that are taking care of him will get him some, professional help.
Some professional help, because he has a whole lot to deal with for the rest of his life.
He will feel that there was something wrong with what he did.
Absolutely.
Those adults told him he was wrong.
That's right.
And it's
think
so
how brave he was to call back again.
Yeah. Well, and he should feel good, and hopefully, if he does, that the adults around him are surrounding him and telling him what a wonderful job he did.
He's going to need professional help.
Yeah,
he's
definitely
going to need professional help. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. Edward.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Liz, am I to understand that the channel was black? I hate to say it like this, but I guess everything to me seems boiled down in black and white. Was the child black and the operators white?
The child was of African descent and the operators were of African descent.
Okay.
Both of them.
Well, okay. Thank you, Liz.
All right, now. 1-877-920-WGNU. We're going to take a break. And then we will come back. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. School board meeting tonight at 7 o'clock at Carr Lane on Jefferson. You need to get to me. It's on Jefferson right at the corner. Jefferson and Martin Luther King. I'll be back.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com, and I'm just thrilled to be able to tell you that an average of 90 people who met on eHarmony.com get married every single day. 90 people every day.
When I first met him, I knew.
I knew she was someone I wanted to spend the rest of my life with.
At eHarmony.com, every match you receive has been carefully selected to be compatible with you based on 29 dimensions crucial for a thriving, long-term relationship.
eHarmony matches you at a deeper level. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Dating sites match on a picture and a paragraph. At eHarmony, we match you at the deepest levels, and it simply works to the tune of 90 people who fall in love and get married every single day. So if you're looking for the love of your life, log on to eHarmony.com. Get your compatibility profile, a $50 value, free. eHarmony.com.
Does your life need to be energized? Are you in need of some direction and clarity? Is your stuff dragging you down?
Tune into Sort It Out with Lori and Claire, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. We'll help you find the courage to make a change in your life.
Hi, this is George Cotton.
And this is Syl Wilson.
Hey, tune us in every Tuesday evening, 8 to 10 p.m.
for The Real Deal with George and Syl.
That's right, every Tuesday evening, 8 to 10 p.m. We'll see you there.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Kabul. The government of Afghanistan is making a move that goes against the wishes of the United States. President Hamid Karzai announced over the weekend that his government plans to provide arms to hundreds of villagers in the southern part of the country in order to protect themselves against Taliban forces that are coming out of the woodwork. Karzai says that the village forces are needed to help shore up the overwhelmed Afghan police force, which has lost hundreds of officers this year due to heavy fighting. American officials are expressing concern over this idea, saying it could result in a lawless militia. The plan comes just as violence has taken a major jump in the four southern provinces where 7,000 foreign forces are deployed. And Dateline Dayton. A report in the Dayton Daily News over the weekend says that extra armor plating that has been added to military Humvees in Iraq have made those vehicles more susceptible to rollover accidents which kill and injure soldiers who are riding in them. A former expert from the Delphi Corporation told the paper the up-armoring has probably caused more deaths and injuries than the lives it has saved. The Army has spent tens of millions of dollars to place added armor on the fleet of Humvees being used in Iraq. An examination of records from March of 2003 through December of 2005 revealed that 60 of 85 soldiers who died in Humvee accidents in Iraq were killed as the result of a rollover accident, with 149 injuries resulting. There are over 25,000 armored Humvees in use in both Iraq and Afghanistan. The Army has tried to address the issue by changing seatbelt restraints and adding a fire suppression system for the crew. The person most likely to be hurt in a rollover is the gunner, who mans the weapon that's mounted on top of the vehicle. This is your wake-up call Global News Update.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want me.
Now that I escaped sleep.
Well, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I just wanted to piggyback off of the gentleman's comment and say that I agree with you all both that the young man in Detroit is going to need professional help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Okay. All right, Daniel.
Thank you.
Willie.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Yes, and I think it's so sad. I actually cried when I read about the little 5-year-old child called and even called a second time.
Mm-hmm. Because his mother was having a heart attack to 911.
And see, we put in program 8 years ago, regardless of what, if you get a 911 call, you respond. Mm-hmm. I mean, while you can hear it clear, or whatever. Can you imagine me trying to, if I'm dying or whatever, and I'm going to make a 911 call that it's going to be perfect?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You're supposed to be trained.
You're going to correct my grammar? You're going to, you're not going to like my accent?
Yeah, they're
going
to come up with an excuse where it was on the 3-2-1.
But it had to be.
Hear him,
But Willie, doesn't it also have to be part of the culture of that office? They had to have an understanding.
That's where I go from. Day one, I go from the front.
Mm-hmm.
Something was wrong. Whether they was black or white, and I heard you say earlier that there should have been responders was black. Regardless, all of this come from top office.
That's a fact.
And then I'm going to say this and get off guard. I think it's so ignorant for America. All last week, you would have, if the media trumped this up of the killing of the man over there, Hebdo. The war perhaps says, oh, we just done did a job. So if we killed the number one man in Iraq, why with the President of the United States put the soldiers in arm's way by celebrating over there today? He's in Baghdad as we speak.
Right.
You have a good day, Lil.
All right, Willie. Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. The thing that bothers me the most, or the thing that is concerning to me about Bush being over in Baghdad today. We all know, any of us that study the information that is out here, that pay attention to what people do. George Bush is over in Baghdad right now, largely, and because of PR, wanting to say something positive about what is happening in Baghdad. And the thing that the person that is running this country should be concerned about is telling the truth about what is happening in Baghdad, and let the chips fall where they may. There is a difference between wanting to say something positive and wanting to say the truth. If bodies, and 10, 15 people have already died in Iraq today, and we've won, mission accomplished, we got the number one guy. Come on. He's there because he saw an uptick in his polls when somebody was killed. I mean, that's in and of itself is troubling and scary. And what do you have to do to sustain a bump in the poll that occurred as a result of the death of somebody else? What do you have to do? What you have to do to sustain that kind of bump, that's kind of scary. Duck, because no good can come out of getting a rise in the polls based upon the killing of another human being. How do you sustain that? Who else do you have to kill in order to get high? I mean, you didn't get your bump in the poll because you delivered red meat to red states. You didn't get a bump in the poll over immigration. You didn't get a bump in the poll over same-sex marriages. You didn't get a bump in the polls over estate tax. You got a bump in the poll because somebody was killed. And the way that he was killed is confusing. The facts are coming out that it didn't happen the way we were initially told. And the question that begs the question of, were we told a rush story because there was an effort to tie all of these PR issues together? New cabinet members in the Iraqi government. And getting al-Zarqawi, come on. What you are being given, what you are being fed, what you are a part of. Is a PR campaign to lift up numbers, and that shouldn't make you feel safe and secure as an American. Tell the truth. That's what you're supposed to do. Not tell us positive spin because you need that in order to keep your majority. Tell the truth about what you're seeing. Tell the truth about why you had to go in under such extraordinary secrecy. Tell the truth about how you have to be protected while you are there. Tell the truth about all the dead people that are dying, the headless bodies that are showing up. Tell the truth. About the you act like you walk away from your bring it on attitude when the guy that you support that's in the head, that's the head of Iraq is now engaging in his own, there will be no mercy, bring it on attitude. One was delivered from the shores of Gitche Gumee, and the others are issued from the shores of Baghdad. If it wasn't right for you to say it in America, it's not right for him to say it in Baghdad. The saying, no good can come of it. No good can come of it. My name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. Don't forget, school board meeting tonight at 7 o'clock at Car Lane. All right, right there on Jefferson. And until tomorrow, stay strong.
For power, nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny.